One, two, three, four. Turn your lights down, way down low. So turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just.
Okay, boys and girls, it's time for our weekly salute to the week that was, so run to the window, throw open the sash, and let's all join Johnny. And if you're wondering why this week's scream wasn't quite as intense or long as last week's, we now do have Da Pope.
We do, yes. And I'm really happy. That was such good news this past week, all the Pope news, and seeing him at the World Series for the White Sox, and the fact that the Cubs tried to steal him away and they couldn't do it, so that was good.
And I read this, and of course, because I saw it on the internet, it has to be true, but I believe it actually is. Chicago is the only city that has had a U.S. president and the Pope.
That's true.
So.
Yeah, take that, New York.
Yeah.
Take that, Jersey. Take that, L.A.
Yeah.
Take that, Rome.
Yeah.
All right, have the Cubs won yet? We're sitting here on the edge of our seat. They haven't won yet.
It's bottom of the ninth. They still have to get three outs. There's a runner on first.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a double play ball. Here we go. Two outs now.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Just shout it out when they win.
Okay, I will.
Because this is an exciting one. And I was talking with Ron in the newsroom earlier. The Sox have done really well. I think the Pope effect really came into play yesterday
and today. The Sox, they're not going to be in the playoffs. Well, they may be in the playoffs, but not the World Series. But there's actually a lot of excitement on the South side now.
Yes.
There's some people I'm enjoying watching.
They look like they're really trying.
And they're coming close and in some cases winning in the final innings of the game, which is something they have not been able to master.
Well, there was that heartbreaker last week, though, where they lost in the final inning of the game.
Oh, and it was insane. In the bottom of the ninth, it was possibly one of the worst nights. When, who was it, Ron, that got hit in the forehead with a ball? And I mean, it just went, it was like a bad Looney Tunes cartoon.
The second baseman. I'm not familiar with his name, but I've seen that clip over and over and over, and he'll be seeing that over.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. You just don't like to see that happen, but sometimes it does.
Well, he didn't even know he got hit. That was kind of the funny thing. It kind of, maybe just knocked it out of him for a moment.
But you're right. They are playing hard. They're a good baseball team, but they just have to press on the gas just a little bit more.
Yeah.
They're not the worst team in baseball this year. That's the Colorado Rockies.
Okay.
So, there's that. That's a step up.
So that's the new promotional
slogan.
We're not the worst.
Isn't that a lot like she's got a great personality? You want to go out with her.
Well, I mean, you know, a step at a time. Oh, Cubs just won. It's a final, 6-5.
All right.
There we go. Good. Beating the Mets.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah, Bob was watching the Cubs game on his phone, too.
Oh, good for Bob. Yep. Good Cub fan right there.
Yes.
Well, as I said, there were some things to be very positive about this past week. I couldn't get enough of the Pope news. And then I was just saying to Steve, today he came out and said the biggest challenge will be AI, artificial intelligence. That shocked me.
That's interesting.
Yeah. He said, in fact, he said, identifying artificial intelligence is one of the most critical matters facing humanity, and he's vowing to continue with some of the core priorities of Pope Francis in addressing artificial intelligence. I said, wow.
I'm not sure what his focus is with that, but I'm assuming he means as we go forward, it's going to be harder and harder and harder to tell
what's real,
and mm-hmm. what isn't.
Yes,
and
yes.
Oh boy, do I agree with that.
And Bob was telling us off the air about this movie. You said it's a Swedish movie.
What's the
movie?
Netflix, yeah.
So it's a Swedish movie.
It's a Swedish movie.
And the original dialogue is in Swedish.
Correct. But they're going to use AI to reconfigure the mouths of the actors.
Wow.
And they're going to play an English track, or, you know,
an AI track, yeah.
And then the AI is going to reshape the mouths of the actors so you don't have to sit there and read the whole time.
Wow.
Well, they did something like that. I don't know to what extent in The Brutalist.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they used AI to help with the accents that the actors were using.
Oh, that's right. There was a little bit of criticism about them using AI because it's like, ooh, don't open that Pandora's box mm-hmm. because we don't know what this means for the future of film.
Well, yeah, and the whole the union strike was over a lot of AI and using AI images of actors who, you know, had been bit players in one mm-hmm. film, and all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we need some other people in the background. We've got faces. Mm-hmm. we can use them already, and it would have been done had the union not struck over that, I believe. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of different ways that AI is going to be incorporated to save money, and I think that's something to really be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Well, this show is AI.
I saw you come in the newsroom. I know you're
because trust us, any intelligence we have is artificial.
That's right.
Believe me.
Thank you, Steve. I wasn't going to spell it out for the kids, but yes, we do have a big show coming up tonight. We're going to introduce you to a couple that we are going to be meeting for the very first time.
Nikki O'Neill
and her husband,
Rich Lukowski. Nikki. Well, we'll share the story later, but she has
a band.
An extraordinary talent.
Singer-songwriter.
Brilliant songwriter.
Yeah.
She's also written some things for the Tribune, some food things for the Tribune. Mm-hmm. She's a multi-talent. And
written a book on guitar.
And her husband, Rich, is going to be joining her. And he's an incredible drummer. He's done some books on drumming, and so that's coming up later.
Yeah.
We have a surprise for you after the 9:30 news,
mm-hmm.
so stick around for that. And a little later...
it's Patrick Knight tonight, talking
tech. Yeah, boy, have we got a lot of stuff to talk mm-hmm. about tonight. The end of Skype, what that means, Perplexity. And if you don't know what that is, stick around. Pig butchering, does that have anything to do with farming? And if it... is it farming information from you or what? So
that's an awful term, pig butchering. Blech.
Yeah.
Especially since we had bacon today. I'm like, I don't like to know where it came from.
It was just in the grocery store.
That's right. And in fact, it was buy one pack, get one free.
There
so
you go.
I had to go for it.
Helping the economy.
We are going to take a break. Tomorrow's Mother's Day. We're going to spend a little time tonight talking about moms. There's a whole bunch that we're going to cover. So if you're not here, we'll talk about you. So stick around on WGN. We'll be right back.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Kicking off Mother's Day weekend.
Does he say she born me into this world?
She brought me into this
world. I think he said she born me in.
All right. Either way.
Yep. Things that moms say. I've always called these mommyisms. And I remember when my mom would hear me say this on the radio, she'd say, are you being rude when you say that? I go, Mom, you are being such a mom when you're calling me on this. It's called a bit. We're just talking about those wonderful things that you say. Like, I was telling Julian off the air, I have a girlfriend whose mother used to tell her, because they're African American, you better straighten up or I will knock the black off you. And she'd say, that's really, really extreme, Mom. Really?
Yep.
And who didn't hear back in the day, don't sit so close to the television.
Oh, yeah.
You'll go cross-eyed.
Yep.
Did you guys hear that, right? Or was it you would go blind? I would just hear both of them.
Yeah, variations of them. And besides being, you know, said over and over and over again, I believe it's true.
Did any of you get the, you don't want to eat the watermelon seeds because a watermelon will grow in your stomach.
Yes.
And that's true, too.
Right next to all the gum you swallowed.
Oh, that's right, the gum. Don't swallow that gum.
I believed them all.
Oh, I love this one. Don't wear your coat in the house. You'll be cold outside. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I would just shake my head and go, okay, Mom, you know, you're right.
Julian, you have any momisms?
On the subject of the coat, my mom would always tell me, why are you going outside without a jacket? I'm going to the car, going straight to work.
Yes.
Into the parking garage.
Yes.
But see, she probably would not have appreciated my dad's thought on that. On the coldest day in winter, my dad would never put on his very last warm sweater, coat, whatever, because he knew, as cold as it was, he knew he still had the opportunity to get a little warmer.
And he would tell me this, and I'd go, yeah, I guess you're right, but that's a lot of thought went into that. Knock that smile off your face, or I'll do it for you. Anybody else ever hear that one?
No, but that's a good one.
You guys can't relate to this one, but I'm sure there's a woman who's heard this at least once in their life. Why would he buy the cow if he gets the milk for free? I mean, really, Mom? Really? But when I was very little, she was good. She was a young mom, and she was desperate to be a good mom. She told me this many times. She said, being young, I felt like everybody was looking at me.
Yeah.
You know, you're just a teenager. You don't know how to raise a child. And this and so she felt like there was a lot of pressure on her. So she came up with this brilliant idea where she would say to me, I know you're lying. And I would look at her wide-eyed. How do you know that? You have a white circle around your mouth. Mm-hmm. And she had me convinced that if I lied, I would develop this white circle around my mouth. I literally believed her, and I would cave. I'd go, I know, I'm sorry. I really wasn't lying. I was just stretching the truth. Mm. Has the circle left my mouth yet? I mean, because she was as serious as a heart. Oh, I see that white circle. You're lying, aren't you?
Oh. Well, that's right up there with the, anything you want to tell me?
Oh, yes.
You sure there's nothing you
don't
want to tell me?
Nothing you want to tell me?
Moms were great at psychology.
I'm telling you.
They may not have had a degree, but they knew what they were doing.
That white circle was terrifying. And she never, ever used the wait till your father gets home.
I got that.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, she just took it into her own hands. She said, what the heck? I'm not going to wait till he gets home. You might forget.
My dad was the one to say, wait till your mother gets home.
Did he really?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. So I think we probably dealt with the same thing. We're like, moms are going, no, I don't need to wait for him. I can handle this. Yeah. What about eating your food? You were always told, Steve, that there were starving children.
Oh, starving children in China. Yeah.
Yeah.
Africa.
Got to clean your plate.
Yeah.
I worked with a gentleman whose mother told him, if you don't eat all of your rice, you will go blind.
Oh, and that's a new one.
Both wear glasses, so I said you must have missed a few things.
Golly. Oh, clean your plate. In our household, it was like, slow down, slow down. We need some leftovers for tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, mommyisms, start thinking about the things that your mom, these wonderful gems that your mom told you, and you probably carried them on, and you don't even realize that you are saying the things that you were raised hearing and thinking, well, that's just weird, Mom.
I wonder, in this age of social media, I wonder what social media momisms are going to develop.
Ew, that's a little scary.
Because now your entire history is available somewhere.
Yeah.
Or as I've said several times, when somebody uncovers an old survey from the Big 89, the then Big 89, with my picture on it, again, this is proof that on the internet, your past is always present.
But kids today, from the moment they're born, it's documented online.
We had, I'm not going to name this person, because it's someone who has been on our show. And she was taking pictures of her newborn every second, every hour. And it continues to this day. And I keep thinking at some point that child is going to be impacted by, here's a camera in your face.
But she's not making money off it.
No, she isn't.
I'm genuinely concerned about the influencers who are making a lot of money, where everything in their household is documented. And you've got little children that are like, hey, I don't have a regular life. Everything I do ends up on the internet. I follow a woman, and I give her credit. A couple of years ago, when her three-year-old, he was a chef. He was a 2 and 3 year old chef. Roman was his name. He was delightful because he would cook once a week. We would tune in to watch this boy cook.
And that was fun.
It was a lot of fun. But she decided when he turned, must have been 4 years old, she said, no more Roman online. When he gets old enough to tell me if he wants to be.
Yeah.
In the videos, that's fine, but no more. I'm not going to use him. I don't feel that it's appropriate.
But she has continued doing some things herself, and I guess very successfully.
Oh.
She was able to move. What, she moved to Florida and bought a house or something?
It's amazing the money that can be made, and a lot of it, again, if you look at some of the families, it's off of the antics of the children.
Yep.
Hopefully they're getting a good life out of it, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, tomorrow's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day. And we hope that you will stick around tonight for all of the fun that we've got coming up. And you can get to us at 312-981-7200 here on WGN.
Cold as a cottage, hot as a cold, hot dog, buddy, well, bless my soul. I'm rocking on down the line.
And Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, hot dog, buddy, buddy, a hot dog all the time.
That gets your heart started, right? A little Bill Haley in the comments and makes us start thinking about hot dogs. And this month is a big month for one of our favorite places in Chicago. That would be Superdog. Superdog located at Milwaukee, Devon, and Nagel in Chicago.
The original one.
And the one that has Maury and Flory, the dancing dogs, the blinking dogs on top of it. The folks who are working tirelessly at that location and the other location in Wheeling are Lisa and Don Drucker. And Lisa is Lisa Berman Drucker, as in Maury and Flory Berman. Lisa and Don, how are you guys tonight?
Well, great. How are you?
Good, good. So happy anniversary. We're driving into work tonight, and Steve said, you realize that this is the anniversary of Superdog? I said, no. That's when I sent you a text real quick and said, we need to talk for a few minutes. So what day in May did Superdog on Milwaukee open?
Yesterday, May 9th.
May 9th.
1948.
48, 77 years, and Maury and
77 years.
Maury and Flory were newlyweds, weren't they?
They were, yes. They were newlyweds. They had just gotten married. They'd gotten married in August of 47 and opened Superdog in May of 48. Can you believe it?
No.
Can you believe the guts to do something like that? And they were young. People got married younger at those times. My mom was 21 and my dad was just 22.
Yeah.
And Maury,
imagine opening a business when you're 21 and 22 years old.
Well,
just got back from the war, you know.
Yeah.
And Maury and Flory have told us tales of back when they opened, there was nothing out there. It was Superdog and a whole bunch of empty land. And
right.
The Forest Preserve was there, and Wayland Pool was built.
Right.
It was the end of the streetcar line, so, you know, Maury was looking for something to do while he studied for the CPA, and then said, well, you know, guys, returning GIs are opening little carts or little stands, and we could probably do that, having no experience, you know, and said, oh, well, you know, there's a piece of property not too far from where we live that, you know, it's for rent. It's the end of the streetcar. There's this great big pool across the street. People get off the streetcar. They'll go across the street. And either they'll meet, you know, stop on their way to or on their way back. So that's what happened.
Hmm. Did they originally open just as a summer business?
Yes, they opened because my mom was teaching school. She had already graduated from college because he had gone off. They graduated from Von Steuben in 43.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad went off at Northside High School. And my dad went off to World War II. He was overseas. He was in Europe, in Germany. And my mom went to Northwestern and graduated from Northwestern as a school teacher and was teaching school during the year. My dad came back from service from Europe and began on the GI Bill, began to go to college to become a CPA. So this started as a summer business because that way my mom would teach during the year. He would go to school, and then in the summer they would both take the time off.
Yeah.
He would take the time off from going to school. She would take the time off from teaching. So they did that for 3 years, 1948, 1949, 1950. Why? Why does it have that end date? Because in 1950, my dad took the CPA exam, which he passed. My eldest brother was born. We say those were pivotal moments in our family. And the business already, as I like to say, had legs. The business had been 3 summers, was growing, and they already had some employees that were loyal, that were good, true employees, and they didn't want to lose them. They didn't want to send them on their way during the winter and bring them back in the summer. So it was in that, at, in 1950, in the fall of 50, that they decided to stay open year-round.
And let me suggest for anybody who hasn't done it, go to superdog.com, and you spell it SUPERDAWG.com, and click on the tab for history, and you will see some wonderful pictures.
Oh, yes. I love the pictures of Maury and Flory as kids.
And I love this formally attired in mustard, relish, onion, pickle, and hot peppers.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
Now,
you knew my dad very well, so you knew what I say this with a lot of love, what a cornball he was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
He was wonderful.
Can I just tell you a quick Maury story? Because we absolutely adored him. When Steve had to transition to a strictly gluten-free diet, we stopped by Superdog on Milwaukee because we heard Maury and Flory were there that night. So we scooted down over there to see them. And Maury starts walking towards Steve, and he's got his hands out, and he's going to grab Steve by the face, and he's going to plant one on him. You could just see it. He's coming in slow motion. And then Flory says, Maury, don't kiss the boy. You have gluten in your mouth.
Absolutely true story.
Everybody just froze. It was wonderful. They are the sweetest people in the world.
Your mom and dad were just wonderful, wonderful people.
Yes, yes. So who was responsible for the blinking dogs on top, the hot dog Maury and Flory on top of Superdog in Milwaukee?
My dad. My mom and dad. My dad was the creative thinker, I want to say.
Okay.
And my mom was his, we're sitting in the parking lot talking to you. So as we look up at the building, we're looking at them right now, winking and blinking. And my mom, just as our figure, our female figure on the roof, our Flory, our fiberglass Flory, looking adoringly at her Maury, at her super dog. My dad came up with the ideas, and my mother said, "That's a great idea, Moore. Let's do that."
They were recently refurbished, weren't they? They were kind of cleaned up a little bit.
Refurbished. They just got refurbished just after Labor Day,
mm-hmm.
and then they went back up end of October.
And didn't you just...
The original chicken wire and paper mache, and we kind of updated them a little bit. We put in LED lighting, so we shouldn't have to go up and change them all that often. They're a little bit brighter than the past, but they only come down like every 25 years or so. So it was time.
And didn't you just reopen a little restaurant area too?
We just reopened our dining room, which had been closed since COVID, actually. And because we needed a kind of a private space. Maury never built an office. He wasn't supposed to be here this long. So he never put an office in the place. We didn't have a place to take a phone call privately or visit privately or do some, administrative work or mm-hmm. anything like that. So we took part of our old dining room that we've had and chopped off a little bit to make an office, and then we reopened the rest of the dining room again. And it just opened last week.
Well, was it a big deal when Superdog was listed on the 100 places to visit before you die list?
Yes. It's one of those, I call it a pinch me experience.
Sure.
How's that?
Yeah.
I always say it's humbling because all we do is show up to work every day. And, there we are listed in a book of 1,000 places to see before you die, along with the Great Wall of China,
or the pyramid. Right.
We have to share some pictures with you. We've been going through our files looking for some old pictures, and we found some pictures from, this would have been back in the early 2000s, when Maury and Flory were nice enough to host our friend Fram Tate, who came from Barrow, Alaska, and there were cars around the block mm-hmm. lined up outside yes. Superdog waiting to see Fran. It was just a wonderful afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was such a, I was just telling some people about that earlier tonight after Johnny had texted me. What a wonderful, I called Fran, what a firecracker, what a dynamo she was.
Yeah.
And she and my folks created this wonderful relationship, thanks to you guys, from Barrow, Alaska to Milwaukee, Devon, and Nagel.
Yep.
We had a friend at the northernmost point of the United States, and that was Fran Tate.
Yep. They were really, when it came to their work ethic, they were cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
They just gave 110% every day, because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the best I possibly can. She was that way at her restaurant in Barrow, Alaska, and I think that's what she really loved about your mom and dad, the fact that, we work 7 days a week, but look at how many happy people pull away from here having eaten a super dog, because it's not a wiener, it's not a hot dog, it's not a frankfurter, it's a super dog, right?
Exactly.
And they were both large, both of them were characters that were just larger than life.
Yes.
They just, and that showed through in each of their businesses.
Well, we're just so tickled that you guys are still there, because I got to tell you, when the dogs were taken off the top of the building for refurbishing, it was a little unsettling. It's like, do I turn here? I don't know. Is this where I'm supposed to turn? I'm lost, because the dogs weren't up there blinking at us. So we just wanted to get you on the radio and congratulate you on the 77th year.
And before we let you go, two things. The second location is where, and what are your hours?
Yes.
second location is at 333 South Milwaukee in Wheeling. And so it's 11 and a half miles up the street from us in Wheeling. It's the best. One of the landmarks that we use is it's just south of Dundee. You know, it's south of Dundee.
Right.
And next to Bob Chin's. And right. They're open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. And then during the summer, we'll be open until 11 on Fridays and Saturdays.
Now, they don't have...
And in Chicago, we're open 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day and 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday and Saturday.
Wow. And for the people who want to experience the car hop experience, they go to the location on Milwaukee at Nagel, right?
Either one. They both have car hop. We both have car hop. We both have a front counter to go to. Both have a dining room again now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wheeling location actually has a drive-through.
Ah.
So... one extra thing way to get your order up there.
Well, again, congratulations, you guys. And, you know, keep putting those pickle green tomatoes on your super dogs.
I was just going to say, you should stop by pretty soon.
We will.
Getting a little tight on the supply.
I hear you. Oh, you guys, it's so nice catching up with you. Again, congratulations and happy 77th. Take care. We'll come see you real soon.
And again, if you want to check out the website, it's superdawg.com, but you spell it SUPERDAWG.com.
Yes.
It's a wonderful website, and you really got to go check them out.
Lisa and Don, they work tirelessly, and you heard those hours, those weekend hours.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And let me tell you, stop by there at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. It's hopping.
Well, I remember I took you and your girlfriends from
our reunion. Yes, we filled the tables.
I was the designated driver.
That's right. We'll take a break. Come right back here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Shout, shout, let it all out.
We're looking at each other. We know who this is.
This is awful, Julian. We both recognize the song. We've heard it umpteen times. And who is this?
Tears for Fears.
Oh, of course.
Ah.
And that was a really pretty cool video, too, as I remember.
Yes. That's a good one, though. So we're going to take a couple minutes here and do a little shout out. I think the last I counted, we were up to 15 states that checked in tonight. By the way, I want to remind you that I did post some pictures on our way into work tonight and some pretty neat pictures once we got into the studio because there was a lot of activity on the Chicago River tonight.
In fact, as we were parking tonight, there was a ton of activity.
Yeah.
Something was going on tonight. Julian, did you have any trouble getting into the parking lot tonight?
No. If anything, I got to work earlier than I thought I would.
Hmm. Huh. Well, Buckingham Fountain was turned on tonight, so it's beginning to look a lot like summer weather is here for real, even though it's I got a picture of kayakers out there. They must have been really cold on the river because it was windy, and a lot of folks were on the sightseeing boats going up and down the Chicago River, so you can see all of those pictures. Our listener, Eric Baum, who checks in from Wells Beach, Maine every week, he posted a lovely picture again this week. This one is an overhead view of Perkins Cove and some of the lobster boats mooring in Ogunquick. I think that's Ogunquick, Maine, a town next door to Wells Beach, Maine. It's translated from Abenaki Indian language. It's a beautiful place by the sea. It's a lovely picture, too.
That's a gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, O-G-U-N-Q-U-I-T.
Yeah.
It just has an Alaska sound to it.
It does. Diane Vasquez is our graphics guru, and she did a couple of cuties for us this week. And Chuck Snitchler, as I always say, he's the best friend of this here radio station and this show, tuned in from Hobart, Indiana. John Couture is listening from Warren, Michigan. Lester Clyden is our trucking buddy. He's tuned in from the suburbs of Chicago. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Jim Smith is in Summit, Illinois. Nancy Hollins is tuned in from Indiana. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Boy, we were just talking about the earthquake.
Yeah, it was like a 4.1 earthquake.
Felt in parts
of... And it hit Georgia and Tennessee.
East Tennessee, Georgia, and North Carolina, as far north as North Carolina. As I was telling you guys off the air, my part of Tennessee, West Tennessee, up in the northern corner of Tennessee, the New Madrid Fault, experienced 11 earthquakes in 7 days. 11 in 7 days.
Something's going on, kids.
Yeah. Oof. Roy Phillips is tuned in from Northwest Illinois. Skip Pluchinski is listening. He looks like he's going home tomorrow. He's here with Bill Downs, and he's tuned in, too. Larry Mann is in Miami, Florida. Gail Maslin in Tinley Park. Kathy Coates in Sterling. Roger Camp in Somerville, South Carolina. Ellen Maria is listening in rural McHenry County, Marengo. Peter Jacobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, listening on his CC Radio 2E. Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport. He's one of our best fans and listeners to the show. Jan Reinhardt is tuned in. She's in the laboratory. Yay for DePope. So happy, she says. Joan Smith is in Holland, Michigan. Robin Aiken is tuned in from Port Charlotte, Florida. Judy B. is in Oak Lawn. Mary Gold, she and her husband are listening in from Amboy. And what do you think of when you hear Amboy?
Amboy Dukes.
Every time I read that.
Yeah.
Janice Kuratobi is on the northwest side of Chicago. From Louisville, Kentucky, it's Ron Anderson. Fred Huser is in Lyons. Helen Thomas is in K-Town, Kenosha. Margo Moore. Every week I stop at her name and I go, that's a soap opera name. She's in Albuquerque. Susie Mays in Spring Valley, Illinois. Jeffrey Welshens is in Elkins, West Virginia. Priscilla Gilbert Steg is in Joliet. Chosen as one of the best cities in the country to live, Joliet.
How cool.
That's pretty impressive because there's a lot of cities in this country.
Yeah, and we're going to be out in Joliet in September. We're going to be at the Rialto Square Theater along with Susie Bogus. Susie will be joining us next week, as a matter of
fact.
That's
right. We're going to talk about what's going to be happening in September that will take us to Joliet. Terry Brock is listening as he travels through Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Georgia tonight. Well, safe travels, Terry. Debbie Tussick is in Sandwich. Our buddy Bobby Danos is in Sandwich out at the Manor. Thank you for tuning in, Bobby, on your clock radio. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Also, Nancy Tomaszewski is in West Allis, Wisconsin. Bonnie Pearson is in Grays Lake, listening with Lola. Marie Prudence is in Evergreen Park. Beverly Goodall is tuned in from Highwood, listening on her Sea Crane. Raymond Wicklander is listening, and he is looking forward to Patrick joining us. He's got some questions for him. Carrie Johnson's in Palm Coast, Florida. Sandy McCumas is in Michigan City, Indiana. Sharon Malone is in Kenosha. Scott Cooper sends us pictures from Normal, Illinois, pictures of his son, Justin, as he graduated magna cum laude from Illinois State University. Well, congratulations, Eric. That's a lot to be proud of. And real quick, like from South Dakota, this is Scott from Pierre, South Dakota. And of course, we got a whole bunch of people that were chiming in with mommyisms that we'll get to a little later on tonight.
And I want to mention some of the people that are checking in from our blog. And you can follow our blog. Go to Steve and Johnny. And spell it J-O-H-N-N-I-E, so steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And some of the places that have been checking in, the United States, Ireland, Sweden, the United Kingdom, Canada, Japan, Finland, Poland, Serbia, Pakistan, Indonesia, Hong Kong, SAR, China, Germany, Belgium, Australia, and Austria.
Holy smokes.
And that's...
And you wonder, how do they... stumble on us.
I have no idea, but
it's
thank
wonderful.
You.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sherry Hanrahan, shout out to you in Romeoville. Also, Jim G. in Wisconsin. Sherry's in Morris. Oh, I know I'm going to miss some of you. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin, Illinois. And if I missed you this week, you better show up next week, and I'll give you a shout-out next week on the radio.
We are going to introduce you and us to an extraordinary talent. Nikki O'Neill is going to be joining us in studio. And we'll give you the story of how we were lucky enough to stumble on Nikki and her music. And her husband, Rich Lukowski, is going to be joining us. He is also in our band and an extraordinary drummer. So we're going to be treated to some really, really good music.
Yes, so stick around.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Drive. That is one of my many favorite songs. And I say many because I love the album we're going to be talking about. We should back up. And the talent you are about to be exposed to, we are also being exposed to in person for the first time.
Yet we know so many of the same people.
Yeah. So there we were, checking out our Facebook page. And we see a message that neither of us had seen.
Right. It had been sitting there for about a week and a half. I said, what? Woo, huh? And this was from Nikki O'Neill, who's with us in the studio tonight. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. This is so amazing. This is so cool. What an incredible view you have here.
It is. It's a pretty awesome view. But I said just a moment ago that we know so many of the same people because Steve Dawson, you saw the Steve Dawson performance in our studio in the videos that we posted.
Yes.
And Dave Spector is going to be on with us in a couple of weeks. And you've worked with Dave Spector from Evanston Space.
And you also performed with our friend Sue Foley at Space.
Yeah, we did. We opened for Sue in April last year.
How cool was that?
And Dave, Sue invited Dave and me to come up and jam.
Uh-huh. In fact, Sue had originally written about you and was a guitar player?
She did. She, she interviewed me for Guitar Player. She had a column there about female guitarists, and I had written a book about like rock guitar playing. It's called Women's Road to Rock Guitar, and it was kind of a pioneering book. It wasn't the first book about women like playing guitar or like an instruction book like that, but it was still pioneering in its scope. And so Sue and I have known each other for like several years because she works with this book Guitar Woman, where she's interviewed hundreds if not thousands of guitar players. So and I was one of them long ago.
Very nice.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
To play with her.
Yeah. Well, with you is your side man, also known as your husband, right?
My better half.
Which we're all about couples working together because people will say to us for 41 years, how did you, you know what? It's right. Would you agree? It just feels right.
Yeah, you just know. And it's hard to describe.
Okay. Well, let's ask Rich if he agrees.
Well, yeah, it's a real pleasure to be able to play music with my wife and and share this wonderful thing that was both a big part of both of our lives, and now we do it together.
Did you two go through the same thing that we did when we first started dating? if you had asked either one of us, did we think we could spend 24 hours a day with anybody, we would have said no. Now it seems unusual if we're not together.
Yeah.
It's just when it's right, it's right.
Yeah. So, Rich, you're from Chicago?
I was born and raised in Mount Prospect.
Ah. Uh-huh. And, Nikki, you have a fascinating background.
It's confusing to most people.
It's very international.
Definitely. Yeah. I was born in Los Angeles, but my mom came from Poland. Grandma came from Russia. And I'm saying this because the three of us lived in one apartment. And my mom eventually got divorced and met her second husband. He was Swedish. And he wanted us to move to Sweden. And so we did.
Oh.
And so we lived there.
Was that a good experience?
Not in the beginning. It was a bit difficult. But
don't they speak English, though?
Do they speak English?
Yeah.
They did, yeah.
I think that would be at least that would be helpful going to a foreign country if you could understand what they were saying about you.
Yeah, they did speak English, and later on I ended up having great experiences. So it was a happy all in all. I mean, I spent 20 years there.
Oh.
So, yeah. So all in all, it was a really good experience. I still am in touch with classmates and mm-hmm. keep contact.
So it was your formative years that you were in Sweden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think I warned you a little later tonight, I'm going to ask you to do the wonderful song you wrote about, basically about all of that, Newcomer Blues.
Sure, I'll be happy to.
One of my favorite songs.
So
how did you two...
Thank you, that's where I was going.
So you're over in Sweden.
Sweden, and you're in Mount Prospect.
You're here, but... Then you're back in Los Angeles, and how did you two meet? And what?
Nikki moved from Sweden to New York.
Okay.
Yeah. I decided to return to the U.S., but I picked New York. And so I was there for a few years. And then there was an all-female rock conference in Seattle. And I didn't have much money. I was kind of a starving artist. I scraped together whatever money I could to get to this convention. Bonnie Raitt was there, Nancy Wilson, Patti Smith. There's some great artists there. And I met Rich's then bosses who ran...
Daisy Rock Guitars.
Daisy Rock Guitars and Alfred Music, which is a big publishing company. Mm-hmm. And they said, you should come to the NAMM show in L.A., And for those who don't know, the NAMM show is one of the world's biggest trade shows for music instruments. And so, a couple of months later, I scrape together money again, get over to L.A., and I get introduced to Rich.
And how many years ago was that?
This was 19 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, 2006.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so you're introduced...
Yeah.
How long was it before you realized something's going on here?
Oh, immediately.
Really?
So when did you start making music together?
Yeah. Pretty much. So we did a long-distance dating relationship.
Because she flew back to New York. I was living in L.A. I lived there for 18 years.
But, yeah. We racked up a huge phone bill. I would visit him once. I think you visited once. Yeah. And on your visit, we decided I was going to buy a one-way ticket to L.A., And I sent him with my electric guitar. I had like one electric at the time.
Oh, no, that shows you're in love. If you let him take your electric guitar, that's the commitment.
That's when I knew it was serious. Yeah. She sent me home with her telly on the plane.
My Telecaster. Yeah. And,
this is a test, Rich.
Yeah. And I always joke that Rich has lived with my Telecaster longer than with me.
Ah.
So, it was only after 6 months that we moved in together at Rich's place, and we pretty much started playing music right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great story. And in our case, I lived with Steve's cat longer than him. And then we got married, and I'm like, well, it's my cat now.
Long story short, I was living in a building on Sheridan Road. I was like on the 8th floor. A woman on the 1st floor, apparently they discovered she had roaches or something, so they were going to fumigate the building.
Okay.
I had the cat.
We weren't dating.
I was doing a midday show, and I said to Johnny, who was also doing shows on WIND at that point, I said, I don't want to leave my cat here if they're going to be fumigating the building when I'm not there.
Understandably.
Would you take my cat?
And I said, I don't like cats. I really don't, but I don't want your cat to die. So I'll take your cat. I'm rolling my eyes. And 3 days later, he came to the house. He knocks on my door. And with a chain on the door, I opened the door. And I said, I'm keeping your cat. And I closed the door. And he knocked on the door. And he says, you want to go to dinner? I go, but I'm keeping your cat. And so I kept the cat.
So to get my cat.
He had to marry me.
Get married.
So. Deal. Yeah.
Really?
That's a great story. Well, it's fantastic.
Well, I am so excited to meet you guys because, as we said, we know some of the same people. And you work at the Old Town School of Folk Music, too, don't you?
Yeah, I teach there one night a week.
Okay.
I teach two group classes for adults in guitar. One's total beginners, so it's really fun.
Yeah.
It's a first adventure.
And also, for people who are saying, Nikki O'Neill, haven't I seen that name in the Chicago Tribune? Yes, they have, because you also write about food.
Yeah, I used to have a background as a freelance journalist, especially when I lived in Sweden, but also for a time when I was in New York. And then I stopped doing that, got more into focusing on music. And when we moved here, I managed to get some freelancing work. So I wrote about ethnic foods, and I also covered a couple of music festivals. Mm-hmm. So it's great fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a heck of a way to make a living. Oh, you mean you're going to pay for me to eat? And then I'm going to write about it? Oh, that's
throw
cool.
me in that briar patch.
Yes. Well, we have Nikki O'Neill. And your band is the Nikki O'Neill Band, right?
The Nikki O'Neill Band, yeah. Right. I still am trying to think of a good name, Nikki O'Neill and the. But whenever I think of something, it's always taken. So,
well, you know what? Nikki O'Neill, it's like a perfect name. It just rolls off your tongue. As I said earlier when we were doing our shout-outs of the listeners in the area, there's one woman's name where every time I come to it, I go, that's a soap opera name. Uh-huh. I say that every time I see that name. And your name is, it's just perfect. So don't go changing.
Okay.
Leave it like that.
Thank you.
Nikki's husband, you also are in the Nikki O'Neill Band,
yes.
Right, Rich?
Yep. I play drums and sing some harmony vocals now.
And you're sitting on a drum, which is called a cajon.
That's right.
C-A-J-O-N.
Correct.
And so you're going to share that with us as well.
Yep.
Actually, we had enough seats for Rich, but we said, no, you got to sit on the drums. So we'll take a break, and we'll be right back here on WGN.
Open the blinds, invite the light in. I'll start making tea in the kitchen. Butter on bread, the paper in red. First bird greets the sun and I listen. Candy out for morning. I'm struck and I'm glowing. Candy out for morning. You got me rolling.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Candy Apple Morning. I love that song. I love this album. Nikki O'Neill is in the studio with us, and along with Nikki is Rich Lukowski, who is her equally talented husband slash drummer slash singer. Candy Apple Morning.
That's a great image.
It must be so much fun to live in your mind. I was going through your lyrics, and where did you, Candy Apple Morning? It's a wonderful title, and the way the song progresses.
Thank you. Yeah, I was toying around with those words. I had no idea what it meant, but I thought one day I'm going to write a song with that. And maybe it was because, you know, electric guitars, since you play, they have such cool names. Mm-hmm. Candy Apple Red.
Yeah.
And so it just, I don't know, it's got my imagination going. And I thought, you know what? Okay, I like mornings. I'm a little unusual because musicians are night owls.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I have come to like the mornings a lot. I both don't sleep much, so I'm up at night, and I like to get up early in the morning. So I don't know what that says.
You're an overachiever is what it says.
I got to have it all. I got to experience it all. So I just decided to play around with, if there's candy apple morning, sounds a little psychedelic or so. Mm-hmm. So I talk about cardamom tea and mother of pearl on the headstock with the guitar that's in the lyrics. So just having fun.
I'm going to suggest, why don't we shut up, and would you like to do whatever?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Should we do drive?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. One, two, three, and...
cry.
Wonderful.
Yes, Nikki O'Neill.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely bleeping wonderful.
Thank you. And Rich Lukowski. Rich, are any Lukowskis listening tonight?
Possibly. Yeah, yeah. Could my mom and dad. My
That's what I wanted to say.
Again.
Shout out to mom and dad.
On this Mother's Day Eve. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Mother's Day, Mom.
Yes.
And let's give a little behind the scenes. First of all, the kind of guitar you're playing is.
It's a Blue Ridge BR-73. It's a San Francisco company, and I got the guitar in New York, again, kind of broke, had a really hard time finding a guitar that was affordable, but my hands are very small. I'd have 12-year-old students, I put my hands up against theirs, and they had bigger hands than I do. So, but I found this guitar. It was in Greenwich Village in a shop, and it was in the doorway,
oh.
and I looked at it, I'm like, I need to walk up to it.
Yeah.
And this is the guitar that I write songs on to this day.
Great sound. And,
it's beautiful.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Nice
and,
warm sound.
And for
thank
people
you.
Who are wondering, I heard a drum sound there. Rich, you want to explain what you were doing?
That's the cajon. So it's great because it's basically just a box. And I can mm-hmm. sit on it. I can get bass drum kind of notes. And I can get snare drum kind of notes.
And Rich is literally sitting on this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you will see because Julian is doing video of all this
right.
too.
We locked the doors. So Nikki O'Neill and Rich Lukowski are in here for a bit. And you should stick around too because we've got a lot more show coming up here on WGN.
Hangs a red dress for games player and seductress. But there's a fade to that ruby shade as you hold it to the light. In your conquest, you've collected broken hearts. Love's rejected. A hook and line for the soul tools you find to avoid those lonely nights. Open buttons one by one. Lacy stockings come undone. A heated gaze, sips of wine. You're on your back, you check the time. And now you've had your fun. You're back to square one.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is Nikki O'Neill. One of the wonderful songs from her latest album, Stories I Only Tell My Friends.
What a great title, too.
And the lyrics to that song, Nikki, where the heck did you guys... So many of your songs should be short stories. I mean, they are, but I mean, they would work as a short novella or something. Where did that come? That's wonderful stuff.
Thank you so much, because for a long time, I really struggled writing lyrics. It was much easier for me to do music,
even You're
though I've been writing like as a journalist. But something with songs, maybe it's living in Sweden. I kind of grew up trilingual. Sometimes I search for the words, especially with English. Or like, Rich, how do you say
What's
this?
What's the word?
Or, can you say this expression? He's like, no, we don't say that here. So thank you. That's really kind of you to say that. That particular song, there was a friend of mine in Sweden who's an author, and he was working on a new book. And he said, can you, like, read this chapter? And it was about a woman who's a seductress. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think it's a prostitute that I'm singing about, but it's not. It's just, it's somebody who's really good at seducing guys, and it's an art. She's turned it into an art, but this has been going on for a long time. And in the book that my friend wrote, she was just playing her game and seeing these lovers, and it became like robotic. And the chapter ended pretty much like that, because I only got to read one. And I thought, well, I have a little experience of what it's like to get into a very happy, harmonious relationship. If you haven't had those before, there might be a little adjusting to do. Some people, some couples, they don't like harmony. They think it's boring, or they mistake the harmony for boring, because they're used to a lot of drama and stuff. So I pondered on this character, and I thought, what if something else would happen to her? And so there comes she's holding up this dress, and it's getting a bit faded, and she's about to experience this fork in the road. And
so
it's kind of scary. And
your author friend say when he heard the song?
I don't know if he's heard the song yet. I got to talk to him.
Yeah.
You know what?
I got to tell him.
We're kind of teasing everybody with the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Should we shut up? Do you want to do it?
Tell the story
Do you want to do the song?
Oh.
Or not.
I'm going to hold off on that.
All right.
Because there's a guitar solo. I play it there. It's on electric guitar. And I haven't yet, reworked that into acoustic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we could do other songs.
But,
yeah.
But we should... The blatant plug light just started flashing. We should mention, the title of the new album is...
Stories I Only Tell My Friends.
And people can get it where?
They can get it. If they do streaming, they can go to the streaming sites, the Spotify's and Apple Music. You can buy the album on vinyl and CD and digital download
on
my Bandcamp page or on my website, NikkiO'Neill.com. But there's also a couple of Chicago record stores that carry the vinyl, mostly the vinyl. And that is Rattleback Records, Animal Records in Evanston, Valhalla in Oak Park, Sugar Records in Chicago, and Reckless Records in Chicago, and Laurie's Planet of Sound, which is close to the Old Town School of Folk Music in Lincoln Square.
And one of the cool things on your website, which cleverly is NikkiO'Neill.com, and that's with two L's, as you're looking at the different songs, you can see, you click on, is it information, and you get who played what on the song, and you also get the lyrics.
Yes.
And I love that you did that.
Well, before we take a break, five people in your band?
Five people, yeah. There's besides Rich Lakowski on drums and vocals, we have Chris Corsell, who is the other guitarist. He does most of the lead guitar parts and sings harmony vocals. And then there's Teddy Myers on keys, and Andy Mearsberger is our new bass player. He's not on the album. He came on board later. Mm-hmm. So it's John Abbey who plays most of the songs on the album, and Chris Stanford plays two. So, yeah, the bass role is split up between Chris and John.
And the other part of the Blatant Plug Light, you've got some gigs coming up.
Yeah, we do. We have a house concert, Molly's House Concerts. She has a space, a very cool, vibey, retro kind of space, lives in Lincolnwood, but she's had a lot of international artists and national artists come through, and we're playing there next Saturday, May 17 at 6 p.m., so if you go to mollyshouseconcerts.com or my website, NikkiO'Neill.com, it'll tell you how to get, you know, how to get tickets, and there's going to be a potluck too.
Oh, fun!
And, yeah, so that's going to be.
It's a really great vibe, and we actually met Molly because we found ourselves at the same shows, and we just were like, "Oh, hey, you again!" Yeah.
And Molly would come to our shows a lot.
Yeah. And then she's been doing this for years in New Jersey, and then she's in Chicago, and, and it's a really a cool scene. So
we've got to get Molly on the show, because the first time we heard about her, we had
Steve Dawson.
The very first time was Empty Pockets. We're going to be doing a show there, a Christmas show there, and
I've
said,
heard of him.
"What? I mean, because they've been traveling with Al Stewart all over the world, and." You're doing a house. Oh, yeah, but this is a different kind of house concert. This is what you live for, because people come to listen to you play.
Yeah. You can pick different songs, where I can't do Square One or Newcomer Blues at a rowdy, like, bar-like or club. But a place like this, it allows you to, you know, choose the set list a little differently, so that's very cool.
When you step out on stage, for example, if you're the sidebar at Fitzgerald's, and you're going to be there on Tuesday, this Tuesday, a songwriter circle.
With Ron Lazzaretti and Chris Rollins, I think his name is. I hope I'm not messing that up. Ron Lazzaretti is the host.
Do you step out with like something taped to your guitar that gives you your set list, and you've talked to the band, and this is what we're going to do? Or do you walk out there and you read the room and you kind of turn to them and say, "We're going to start here. We need this sound or this vibe"?
I have... Yeah, when it's a full band shows, then there's a set list. But then I'll sometimes read the room, or we'll all read the room. We'll say, you know what, let's do this one. I'll switch things around. But otherwise, there's a set list, because sometimes we play three-hour shows.
Wow.
And,
cool.
And that I couldn't memorize all of that. When it's a songwriter circle, there might be five or six songs, so then I'll memorize it. But sometimes somebody will play something, and then you kind of shuffle your order around, because you're responding to what they did in a way.
Like, oh, that's
somebody's
fun.
Playing a, I don't know, honky tonk ballad or so, then I might, you know, pull up something that would complement that.
Well, let me mention that Tuesday night at Fitzgerald's Sidebar, that's an 8:30 get together.
Yeah.
So
and there's no cover.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Tuesday night. And then next Saturday night's at Molly's House, and that's a house concert in Lincolnwood. And then you got a bunch of things coming up. It looks like summertime is hitting big time for you guys.
Tons of stuff.
Yeah, we've got
solo shows, duo shows. There's May Festiversary.
So you guys do perform as a duo sometimes, not always as the five-piece band.
Yep. No, we do, everything. We can do solo, duo, trio, four-piece. With the guys, they're full-time musicians, some of them, so depending on who's available. But when it's the full five-piece, it's fun.
Yeah.
Nikki O'Neill in studio with us, along with Rich Lakowski, and we're going to shut up, and what would you like to do?
We're going to do Live Like You Just Begun off of the album. One, two, three.
that you're gonna change direction. We grew apart, we took our turns through denial and reflection. Now, with our minds made up, your things all packed in the moving truck, you stand tall. But we both let out a sigh. Don't get down about what we've been through. Celebrate what brought me and you. And don't let this chance pass you by. Breathe in the sky. Take a walk in the sun. Live like you just begun. Sing a song like you found a favorite one. Live like you just begun. Don't get down about what we've been through. Celebrate what brought me and you. And don't let this chance pass you by. Breathe in the sky. Take a walk in the sun.
Walk in the sun.
Live like you just begun. Sing a song like you found a favorite one.
Favorite one.
Live like you just begun.
Live like you just begun. Live like you just begun. Live like you've just begun. Live like you just begun.
You.
Oh, yeah.
That was lovely.
Oh, that's so good.
And that should be our mantra, too, right? From here on out. I love the lyrics to that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's on your new album, right?
It is, yeah.
You have such interesting, diverse influences. Was I reading Sly Stone?
Yeah.
Pop Staples?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah, my mom was a big Al Green fan, so I remember her. She got me when she was 19, so she was young, and she liked what was popular at the time,
yeah.
So she's
so
a big
I can
Al Green
bond
fan.
Because my mom was 18. We were talking about moms earlier,
oh,
so we
okay.
grew up with our moms.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Totally.
So she was into Al Green.
She loved Al Green. She loved Santana, the early Santana
records.
So
you loved Santana.
Yeah, and I ended up liking it too, because sometimes, yeah. you know, kids don't always like what their
yeah.
parents like.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we moved to Sweden, there was a bunch of music that was popular there, whatever
like
was.
Like ABBA?
ABBA, yeah. I mean, I ended up liking ABBA a lot a little later
Why
in
not?
Life. Mm-hmm. When ABBA was popular, like dominating the world, a lot of people in Sweden did not like ABBA. The critics hated them because
really?
They just didn't like the glossiness and the
yeah.
yeah pop songs. They were into socially conscious like commentary songs, and yeah, totally understand. There's you know validity.
But look who's still around
that.
Today. Yeah. ABBA's still around.
They are. Yeah.
There was at one point in the mid '70s that ABBA's music was Sweden's largest financial export.
I mean,
can more imagine. Than Volvo or anything else. It was ABBA Records brought more money into Sweden than anything.
Yeah.
Do you recall what was your first live concert?
I'm not sure if there was anything that my mom took me to when I was a kid in Los Angeles, but the very first concert I bought tickets for was Kiss in Stockholm with Bon Jovi as the opener, because I listened to a lot of rock and hard rock, and the guys in school, they took guitar lessons, and in the break room they were talking about what songs they learned and what records they bought, and a lot of that at the time was like, oh, I got the new Kiss record or some, the Who sometimes, but it tended to be heavier stuff.
Was there a concert or a moment or what that made you say, I want to do this?
Yeah, it was after the hard rock phase, Prince got really popular. And in Sweden, it was like pretty much with Purple Rain. There were maybe some people that were hip to him earlier, but saw the Purple Rain movie and Wendy and Lisa and his band, The Revolution. And then later on, he had Sheila E. on drums.
Yeah. And then Rich saw Sheila E. and says, I can do that.
Yeah. I was like, I want to do that. Yeah. I want to be a drummer. And my mom said, no way. It's too loud.
So she
married
a drummer. That's
right. I did. I always got along with drummers. So even when I interviewed bands during my writing days, always got along with drummers for some reason. And
Rich, what was it for you? What was the thing for you that made you say, I want to do this?
Is probably hearing Rush, hearing Moving Pictures, and there's a big drum fill in that song, and it just kind of blew my mind. And
were you playing drums then?
When I started playing drums, it was a snare drum in the school band. And I just wanted to play drum set. And one day, guy my dad worked with said, I have a drum set in the attic, my son never played it, we need to get rid of it, and he said, we'll take it. And a drum set entered my life, and I loved that thing, and I still have it. I still play it. I'll probably play it Saturday night at Molly's.
Cool.
It's a Ludwig Ringo Starr
kit. It's an old Ludwig Black Oyster Pearl. It's a 4-piece kit. It's a beautiful kit, but I got bit by the bug, and I love playing.
As you got bit by the bug, was there any drummer that you looked at and said, that's some really cool stuff? And I'll give you one example that I'm thinking of, an album that is to this day one of my favorite albums. Shelly Mann, Ray Brown, Barney Kessel, one of the poll winners albums. And they do a version of Volare, and Shelly Mann takes a solo and plays the melody on his drums. And I thought, whoa, hello.
Yeah.
But was there like a drum person moment for you?
All the early Led Zeppelin stuff, like hearing John Bonham play, just the power and the groove that he had. So that was a big thing for me.
I've actually come to appreciate Ringo as a drummer.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I did because I was in love
Ringo
with
the
guitar
coolest.
Players.
Uh-huh. He just plays the right stuff. And those songs would be the same without those drum parts.
Yeah, really
He's
creative.
So underrated.
Yeah, really creative drum parts. I think people have to think he was probably creating, like thinking of the song in mind.
Yeah.
It wasn't about showing himself off.
Yeah. And so things were a little backwards for him, and he kind of had his own thing. And I also like Buddy Rich. Like, that kind of stuff still blows my mind.
And I listened to all kinds of music, so even if there was the rock phase, I remember going with a friend to an amusement park, or two friends, and Ella Fitzgerald was playing, and we weren't aware.
At an amusement park?
Yeah, in Sweden. And she was older at the time, and we heard her, and she was getting into scat vocals, and there were tons of people there. And we were clueless, stupid, like teens. And my friends were like, what is this? But I showed up because I realized that I saw greatness.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't quite get it, I would catch up to her later. But my mom had tapes, cassette tapes with Nat King Cole, and she listened to Chopin and all kinds of music.
Well, one of my speaking of Nat Cole, and We'll speak of Nat Cole later because we just beeped over the time that we need to shut up. So stay with us at WGN Radio.
If I stop, will I fail to be everything that I can be? But where's time to simply be? Wish I could have one day a life as I knew it, but I stared into space. Wonders came into it.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Nikki O'Neill. Where did that song come from?
It comes from two different sources. Or one, the verse, the first verse, the hustle's got a hold on me. If I stop,
what
will I fail
line.
To be? It came from, thank you, it came from Jenny Benneman. I don't know if you have met her.
No.
But she is a singer-songwriter who's known for something called haiku milieu. So she writes haiku poems, and that's been a way for her to keep her creative flow going on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But she has these showcases, and they're at Fitzgerald's.
Right.
In Oak Brook, and she does it somewhere else. But basically, she gathers a lot of great singer-songwriters, like Steve Dawson, and a lot of people you know. And we write a song based on one of her haikus, and then we have a show. And the haiku that was basis for this one was, "My desire to be productive is at odds with my desire to be." Hopefully, I got the haiku.
That's a T-shirt. Right.
Yeah.
And I could resonate with that. I've pondered often on AI or constantly being on devices.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do with our imagination?
Yep.
When we always have answers at our fingertips. I mean, that's great, but the time when you could just sit and daydream, it doesn't happen too much. I mean, you go out with somebody to a cafe and they need to excuse themselves. Everybody pulls up their phone with that quiet time. So I just thought about that and also about constantly being busy and connected. And I think for a creative person, I mean, it's good to be busy, but I think sometimes it's good to also just do nothing so that some other ideas besides what you've already scheduled out could enter in.
Well, speaking of quiet time, I think Johnny and I will engage in some quiet time for a few moments. And what would you two like to do?
Okay, well, we'll do Candy Apple Morning.
Open the blinds, invite the light in. I'll start making tea in the kitchen. Butter on bread, the paper on red. First bird greets the sun and I'll listen. Candy apple morning, I'm struck and I'm glowing. Candy apple morning, you got me rolling. I look outside, they're wiping down tables. A lady is sweeping the sidewalk down by the bar. With mother of pearl on the headstock. Candy apple morning, I'm struck and I'm glowing. Candy apple morning, you got me rolling. Some stay up late, love the dark to create. Come alive when the lights all low. A blank page, that's where I find my flow. Open the blinds, let the light in. There's cardamom tea in the kitchen, paper and pen, falling. You got me.
Love that.
I have to believe this is a treat for you, Rich, because as a drummer, you're usually seeing the backside of her. And yeah. I love the fact that you guys are looking at each other as you're performing.
We also do a lot of these duo kind of gigs, and we do. We people come up to us and they're like, "Oh, I love the way you guys look at each other," and we just play
you're communicating.
Off each other.
Yeah.
Because it's not only people will sometimes say, "Oh, you look like you're so in love, and that's so cute," but. And yeah,
we're working, it's folks.
That, but we're also excited when we're like locking into the music and like.
Do you two go through the same thing that Johnny and I occasionally go through? We have eye contact with each other during the show. There are other situations we've been in at other stations where we don't have eye contact, and it impacts our timing.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference for you guys?
That probably would. Yeah. I would say so.
But as you say, a lot of times I am on the drum set. I'm behind Nikki, but I kind of see her. I kind of
see the body
tapping, the way she moves. And so, I'm right in there.
And whenever I'm not singing, I try to like turn around and like walk around a little bit, you know, whatever time, and we'll make eye contact. And
do you typically play electric guitar with the band?
I do, yeah.
That telly that she sings.
The famous telly.
Yeah.
Is it red?
No, it's black.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one that's on your website?
Yeah, it's the one that's on. Yeah, it's on the album cover.
She's holding it on the album.
I do have
cover.
A fun story about it, if there's time.
Sure. Oh, if there's a guitar story, please.
Of course.
During my freelance days, I was assigned by a Swedish newspaper, and they said, "Could you interview Bad Religion, the punk band?" I thought, okay, I can, but I know nothing about punk. But okay, I went off and I did it. They played a show, and then afterwards the drummer came up to me. I get along with drummers. He came up and he said, "So what's your favorite music?" And I thought, he's going to think, be let down because I'm not going to mention punk bands. So I said, "I know nothing about punk, but I love Al Green and Stevie Wonder." And he said, "Oh, my Desert Island album." And he mentioned a Marvin Gaye album.
Oh.
He was like a big soul music fan, too. And he said, "Let's meet tomorrow and we'll go." Yeah, let's just meet tomorrow. Okay, all right. He calls, "Meet me at Matt Umanoff Guitars on Bleecker Street." Okay. And, went over there and he said, "If you got to like pick any guitar here, what would you pick?" And I couldn't believe what I was hearing at first, but then he said, "Well, I'll explain, because when I go on tour, I like to give guitars to my friends so they can be stewards for these guitars, and then if I feel like jamming, then I always have guitars anywhere." Okay, all right, sure, I'll gladly be your steward. And he said, "Just one condition, you have to learn some Robert Johnson songs and some Elvis songs." I said, "No problem, I love Elvis." So, I got the guitar, and I took the stewardship very, very seriously. So whenever I would change something on the guitar, I would call him and ask for permission. And this went on for a couple of years, and then he said, "Duh, it's yours." But I've played it a lot, and the fretboard has a lot of like wear from the fingers. I've like really played it a ton, and it's to this day it's tough for me to play new guitars. They just feel weird to me.
Okay, but here's the key question. Have you named it?
No, not I haven't.
It should be named after him.
It should.
That's a generous gift.
Yeah, very. Very.
It says volumes about him as a musician, too. That
it really does.
Yeah.
I name all my guitars, but with a lot of them, it'll be a while, and they'll tell me what their name is.
Yeah. I've pondered on it, but nothing feels
Don't push it. It'll shout it out to you one day.
Yeah.
In fact, you may go home tonight and look at it, and it's going to say, dummy, all these years I've been trying to tell you.
I'm Larry.
We've got Nikki O'Neill and her husband slash drummer slash backup singer and the guy on the tambourine just a moment ago.
And co-producer of the album also.
Okay. Yeah. Rich Lukowski is with us in studio.
And once again, we're going to shut up. What would you like to do?
This is going to be a song called Newcomer Blues. It's the last song on the album. And it has a little bit of an autobiographical story.
When you're brought in the world by parents who have no connection, you gotta figure life out on your own. A kid in LA with a grandma who doesn't speak English, she looked after me when daddy left mom alone. I'm a traveler with the newcomer blues. We move between homes as they give mama the news. Tenants with kids and pets are banned. Our fate was in our hands. Morning, my teacher asked us to pledge allegiance. I was six and curious, I raised my hand to ask, why do we say justice for all when there isn't? Miss Adams had it, she threw me out of a class. I'm a traveler with the newcomer blues. Flags and cultures, I'm picking up clues. Love for country sure seems grand. My fate is in my hands. I've got two hands to feed and two eyes. I can burst out in a laughter or let out a sigh. I'll breathe air and I got a heartbeat too. I'm made just like you. Made just like you. I was seven when Mama met a man from Sweden. We moved to Stockholm and Swedish was hard to learn. Kids call me a capitalist and teachers made fun of my English. My stepdad was mean, but I didn't know where to return. I'm a traveler with the newcomer blues. Got stamps in my passport, a new home to lose. Common culture sure seems grand. My fate is in my hands. Got two hands, two feet and two eyes. I can burst out in a laughter or let out a sigh. I'll breathe air and I got a heartbeat too. I'm made just like you. Mama announced we'd go to her native Poland. She never explained as we packed up for the train. It rolled from Stockholm to Warsaw during the Cold War. I got more impressions than I could ever contain. I'm a traveler with the newcomer blues. Cold War shops, people standing in queues. Mama's got no answers at hand. My fate is in my hands. Traveler with the newcomer blues. Got stamps in my passport that I didn't get to choose. A life without drifting, it just seems grand. My fate is in my hands.
that's the last cut on Nikki O'Neill's CD, Stories I Only Tell My Friends.
And thank you for doing that. Yeah. I love that song.
Thank you.
And now we know more about you, too. Interesting.
Yes.
She's looking at me like, really?
What? No. So,
that little stint in Stockholm.
Say maybe too much, but...
You're a capitalist. You're a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know what the word meant. I had to go ask.
You were seven. And, you were 7 years old.
You were seven years old. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But look where it took you.
Yeah.
This is great. And the CD is also available on vinyl and streaming, and you can find it wherever you stream your music, or you can get the actual physical copy in your hands. Go to Nikki O'Neill. That's 2 K's and 2 L's. No waiting. Right? I found out the hard way after trying to email her all week with 1 L.
I usually tell people it's either the surf brand or the playwright, whatever your reference is for O'Neill.
That's good. And people can also find you on YouTube, and Rich, they can find you on YouTube too, right?
Yep.
What blatant plug have we missed? Rich, your books, videos, what?
Yeah. I wrote a bunch of drum instructional books called On the Beaten Path.
Well, it's a good title.
Thank you. It takes more of modern music, something you might know now, and it traces it back to where that came from.
Ooh.
So in funk, it would be somebody like Chad Smith and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like, well, did you know that he got that kind of from the Meters? And the Meters kind of, if you go back further, it's James Brown.
That.
And so you explore all these styles of drumming and take some of the beginner, intermediate, and advanced kinds of beats that made those drummers famous.
Is this available on your page, or is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. It's all over the place. On Amazon, it's...
And you have a video version of this that you did during the pandemic also.
It's that's a LinkedIn Learning course on how to play drums. It's a video, it's hours and hours of video lessons.
And again, the title of the book is?
On the Beaten Path.
Not Off the Beaten Path, but On the Beaten Path. That's very cool. Rich Lukowski.
And it's translated to Italian and German.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Nikki, what blatant plugs have we not mentioned?
Come see you at the house concert.
Yeah, come see us at Molly's House Concerts in Lincolnwood. This is not just somebody's private home. She does these house concerts with, like I said, national artists, international artists. You can either go to my website, NikkiO'Neill.com, and look at the May 17. That's next Saturday. And it's there's a potluck there. Doors open at 6, and the music starts at 7, and it'll be with Rich on drums, myself, Andy Meersberger. He might bring the upright bass, I don't know, or the electric bass, and Teddy Myers on keys, so those guys from the band.
And then also Fitzgerald's.
And Fitzgerald's is, actually before that,
Tuesday
night. I'm at Fitzgerald's at 8:30. There's Songwriter Circle host Ron Lazzaretti.
Very nice.
Okay.
Well, it's been a pleasure to meet you guys after all this time.
I'm just realizing there's so many things we didn't cover, like you're doing the alphabet of food.
Yeah. Well, that was Rich's idea. 6 years ago, we lived in L.A., and why don't you...
One day, Nikki was like, there's nothing to do here. And I'm like, we're in Los Angeles. There's plenty to do.
Nonsense.
We're just in a rut. We're doing the same things over and over again. So we took all the countries of the world, put them in alphabetical order, so it's basically randomized. And we wanted to discover the culture, the music, and the food of each of these countries. So we started with Afghanistan. Who knew? There's an Afghanistan restaurant in L.A. So we went, and there was an Afghanistan couple next to us saying, oh, it's not on the menu, but you should order this. And people really like to share their culture, and you show some interest, and the world's not that different.
Next time you're in with us, along with songs, recommendations for ethnic restaurants in Chicago.
Alphabet of food, okay?
Sure.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
We're only going to let you go if you promise you'll come back.
We would gladly come back.
All right. Thank you. Nikki O'Neill and Rich Lukowski. Nikki O'Neill Band. You can check them out at NikkiO'Neill.com. Get all information on all the shows coming up this summer.
spend my time getting even. Would I find my way through the feelings? As college came, I played it cool by the rules. To up, I learned I gotta put somebody down. Some people climb that ladder, some would rather move.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. A little more Nikki O'Neill. Man, that was fun.
It was fun. So and nice to finally meet someone that, you know, is like, okay, I can put now a face to the voice, to the music. It's very cool.
And Nikki will be back with us. Well,
watch the space.
Watch the space, and that'll happen. Yeah. And we'll let you know when the pod. A lot of people are asking us. They came in on the middle of it. Yes, it will be podcast. And yes, Julian did some videos. So
actually, that was Rich's mom and dad that wanted to know about the video. Just kidding. They're just leaving the studio.
That was fun.
So we have so much to cover tonight. For those of you who tune in to hear Tech Talk, Patrick will join us after midnight tonight. Somebody said it seems like forever since he was on. Well, no, every 2 weeks Patrick stops by, and the weeks that he's not here, it's Car Night with Tom Appel, and we're very happy to have them because they just know their stuff.
Yeah, and, boy, do
yeah,
and it just happens with both Patrick and Tom. There has been so much stuff that keeps changing, so much new news. In fact, there's some things that Johnny came across that we're not going to get into with Patrick tonight, but he's going to be researching something that we just found out about.
Right. Well, let me tease you and say, if your router on your computer, if your router in your home is older than 2010, you will want to watch the space because there's news coming out about how we need to get a new router. And I looked at you and I said, does that mean us? And you said, yeah. And I'm, oh.
Yep. It do, it do.
I don't like change. Like, I don't like having to get like a new stove. And as we were leaving tonight, you said, I think our plumbing is sounding weird. And I'm like, no, I don't want to hear that. And then I realized it is sounding kind of gurgly.
And I said to you, it's been a while since we've had everything checked out. So, so we will do that.
And isn't that, though? It's such a weird feeling. It's like, I just want to get in the car and keep driving. I don't want to have a plumber come out to the house. No. So May is Celiac Awareness Month.
Yep.
And it's interesting, we were talking with Nikki O'Neill because she also has to be gluten-free, not a celiac, but has realized that her life is so much better if she is, in fact, gluten-free. And we thought for the month of May, we would take a little bit of time every Saturday night and share with you a few tips on living gluten-free, because there's a very good chance, since they tell us that one out of every 83 people is, in fact, a celiac, but they don't know it, more than likely. Or if they do, they realize, wow, my life is so much better now that I'm not sick all the time. We thought it would be interesting if, as opposed to having a guest on talking about living gluten-free, if we just shared our own experience, 20-plus years of being gluten-free, and just a few tips for you in case you're going to be cooking for someone that's a family, a friend, or you, and maybe you're overwhelmed by this.
And this is the point where I say that you should check out our blog, which is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And when you go to our blog, you can just do a search for gluten-free diet, and you will find a ton of posts.
Right.
But also, when Johnny gives you a new recipe, as she will in just a couple minutes, probably over the weekend, we'll put that recipe up. So if you glaze over, or if you're not using glaze, because not everything needs glaze, but if you glaze over, we will have the recipe on the blog at least by tomorrow.
Well, one of the things I like to do, too, is I like to take pictures of the products you use, because a lot of folks don't realize that you can go to your grocery store and you can get gluten-free flour. You can get gluten-free Bisquick, something we talked about last week. The recipe I want to talk about tonight requires soy sauce, and it comes as a big surprise to people to find out that there's wheat in soy sauce. But you can purchase soy sauce, and Kikkoman, one of the biggest names in Asian foods, actually makes a gluten-free soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wheat-free. And I'm telling you, you would never know the difference. Why they have to put the wheat in it, I don't know.
In fact, the more that we have been into this, the more we find we just don't understand. For example, Heinz makes a gluten-free tomato soup. And it tastes just like tomato soup, only maybe a little fuller,
yeah,
the gluten-free version. And I don't know why they need to...
Campbell's soup has wheat to thicken, yeah, up the soup, and yet we purchase the Heinz tomato soup, which is available. If you go to your grocery store, you can find it where they sell international foods because it comes from Great Britain.
Yeah.
And that's just the kind of tomato soup they eat. And you look at the ingredients, and it's tomatoes. Oh, isn't that interesting? You don't need all that other stuff.
All the other filler stuff.
Yeah. And as I said last week, you have to be very careful about low-fat and fat-free products, because sometimes to make the palate happy, they add wheat to make, for example, a fat-free cottage cheese seem more like regular cottage cheese. Yeah. So now you've got wheat added to it. So you have to be really, really careful. And I don't want to scare you, because if you're going to cook for someone in the family, it really isn't that difficult. And boy, they will put you in their will. They will be so happy, yep, to have someone who goes to the trouble of making a dish, a baked good, something that shows that, you know what, I can do this, and I can do it in such a way that you're absolutely safe. You're not going to get sick.
And I've mentioned this before, but I have to smile sometimes when someone finds out that I have been diagnosed with the celiac and have to be gluten-free. And I say, oh, I'm sorry. And I can appreciate what they're trying to do, but there is no, oh, I'm sorry, needed. This was a wonderful discovery, because now I know what to avoid and I feel better.
Yeah.
And when you have someone, and sadly not everybody does, but someone who is as good a cook as Johnny is, you can't tell the difference.
No.
That's one of the reasons why we're giving these recipes, and people keep asking, when is Johnny's cookbook going to be out? And it's getting closer.
Yeah. So one of the things I want to do when I share a recipe with you on Saturday night in the month of May for Celiac Awareness Month is make it a recipe that doesn't require you to go out and buy a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's recipe is a chicken stir fry, which would require you to purchase the gluten-free soy sauce. But once you buy it, you're still going to use it, because it's not going to be, yeah, any different than the soy sauce that you're accustomed to. So it lasts forever in the refrigerator. So it's not a huge investment, mm-hmm, that you're making. But you're making a safe stir fry. And I think the sauce, we had this just the other night. In fact, we took a picture of it.
Yep.
Chicken stir fry. So we're going to take a break and come back, and I'm going to roll through the recipe for you. But don't worry, you don't have to jot it down, because we will have it posted with pictures, so you can try it out and give me some feedback too. Once you try these recipes, you know, tell me what you think, if you made it for someone, if you made it for yourself. And I always say too, you have to be super, super cautious about the equipment that you're using in the kitchen. So if you are concerned about possibly contaminating, and that's the word we use, contaminating someone's dish, just buy a throwaway pot or pan, something, one of those aluminum pots and pans. You can get them very inexpensively, and then you know for a fact that you don't have any crumbs or any crust that's left over that might be dangerous to someone who has to be very, very aware of gluten. So we'll come right back and roll through a recipe for chicken stir fry that's gluten-free here on WGN.
Oh,
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Somewhere, Uncle Bobby is smiling.
Yep.
That's the Hen House 5 plus 2, a.k.a. Ray Stevens. And
again, Ray Stevens.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Last week, we visited Ray Stevens' music and kind of went down the rabbit hole. And
there's a Ray Stevens thing going on. We got to get him out. But we wanted to do the Hen House 5 with the chickens because the tie-in is chicken stir-fry and gluten-free
chicken. Yes, chicken stir-fry. See,
do you think we don't have a game plan for this?
So, the only thing you need to purchase is the gluten-free soy sauce, readily available. Just look at all those labels, the big, bold lettering, especially on the Kikkoman soy sauces. And don't try to get away with using the regular because there's a lot of wheat, and you could make someone who has an intolerance to wheat, an allergy to wheat, very, very sick. So, is that your belly? All right. So, for chicken chicken stir fry, I just take a pound of boneless, skinless chicken breast. I cut it into bite-sized pieces, a little bit of oil in my big old skillet, and I just saute that to get a little bit brown. And by the time I'm done a few minutes, it's done all the way through because I'm making small bite-sized pieces. I also use frozen broccoli flowerettes. I don't use the fresh because it saves time, and it's also very tasty. And I just leave that out to thaw while I am mixing up everything else. Because once you've sauteed your chicken and you've prepared your sauce, I do add a chopped onion. You don't have to do onion in your chicken if you don't want to, but I do add that for flavor. And I wait to add the broccoli till I have prepared the sauce, and I've mixed that all up because you don't want the broccoli to get all mushy. And I think you'll be able to see by the picture that we will post that it's not mushy. It's still crunchy. So the sauce, here's the secret. The sauce is 1/4 cup of soy sauce. So that's your gluten-free soy sauce. 1/4 cup, 1/2 cup of water, 3 tablespoons of brown sugar, 2 teaspoons of minced garlic, 1 tablespoon of honey. I add 1 teaspoon of sesame oil, but I've made it many times and forgotten about the sesame oil, and nobody misses it. So if you've got it, you can use it. But if you don't, it's not a big deal. So it's your soy sauce, water, brown sugar, garlic, and honey. You can add ginger if that's a flavor that you like in your Asian foods. We're not real crazy about that, so I've never used ginger in the sauce. And finally, you want to have 1 tablespoon of cornstarch because you're going to thicken this wonderful sauce. And it doesn't look like you've got very much. You've got like 3/4 cup of sauce. Yeah. And you've got a skillet full of chicken. And you've got some onion. And you're going to add this bag of broccoli flowerettes. But believe me, when you pour your sauce over all of that and it starts thickening up, it's so yummy. You make your rice on the side. You get all ready to...
Do you realize how hungry you're making me right now?
I ate the leftover cold out of the refrigerator the other day. Mm-hmm. Didn't even bother to heat it up.
And
it
there will
so
not
good.
Be a lot of leftover because
no.
it's so
Well, you
good.
Asked the other night, you said, can we have the chicken stir fry again? I said, there's not enough. There's only a bite. And that was probably a little more than a pound.
A bite that you had.
I had it. Yes, I did. That's the sad chicken. So, look, you can make this fabulous meal easily, would feed 4 people, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
If they had huge appetites, maybe you need to add a little bit more chicken and maybe double your sauce recipe. But my point in sharing this one is a lot of people think, oh, I can never have Chinese food again. Yeah, you can.
You really can.
And there was a restaurant in Florida that House of Chan, we would actually supply the House of Chan with our gluten-free soy sauce. And they were wonderful about making your food separate, fresh, using the soy sauce that we had
because
supplied.
Because we've been regular customers. Well, my dad had been a regular customer for years, and then we started going there, and it was Fanny who was the owner.
Yeah.
And she was just wonderful to us. And she said, okay, if you've got the gluten-free soy sauce, sure, I'll do that.
And then, remember, she said, could we just leave it here? We'll put it up on the shelf for you.
Yeah.
And we said, yeah. And you know what? If you have someone that comes in and they are just eating rice because mm-hmm. there's nothing they can eat that's safe because you do use soy sauce, go ahead, surprise them. Use the gluten-free soy sauce.
Now, again, this recipe will be on our blog probably tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But so if you glazed over it a little bit, don't worry. It'll be up on our blog. We'll put a link on all of our social media pages.
And the reason I did not have it ready tonight, because I said to you I wanted to have a picture of all the soy sauce, for mm-hmm. example, because I want you to have something. If you go to the grocery store, you know what to look for, like I did last week with the Bisquick.
Right.
And we got some feedback from people who tried the ham and cheese pie with a Bisquick, and they actually loved it. And some folks who didn't need to be gluten-free, and they just used their regular old Bisquick, and they said, oh, this is a great recipe.
And I'm not just saying this because Johnny's in here with me. If you have someone in your house who isn't gluten-free, they won't be able to tell the difference.
No.
Too many people think that, it's gluten-free, so it's not going to taste good. If it's cooked right, it will taste wonderful.
I brought treats in tonight, and it just so happened I did not know that Nikki O'Neill stays away from gluten.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, these are gluten-free. Oh, you're kidding. So I brought chocolate chip cookies, and not the prettiest treat in the world, but what do you think about the marshmallow treats, Julian?
Oh, they're so good.
So that's Chex instead of Rice Krispies. I think I'm loving the Chex.
Yeah, I'm definitely preferring this too, but
yeah.
I have a chocolate addiction, so...
You have a chocolate addiction.
This is helping me wean off my chocolate addiction.
I did add peanut butter to those just for you, because you like peanut butter. So I took the Rice Krispie recipe. In fact, I'll include this tomorrow because Chex are available gluten-free.
Right.
So I had the chocolate vanilla Chex, and I said, do I have 6 cups here? And I had 6 cups, and I had a bag of marshmallows. And let me tell you, too, you have to be careful about the marshmallows, because if you get a cheap marshmallow that has been rolled around in wheat so it doesn't stick, then you're in trouble. So I find that if I buy Stay Puft, for example, they actually are labeled gluten-free.
So we need to take a picture of this before we leave tonight?
Yeah, I think there's some crumbs left.
Okay.
Before I finish them all.
All right. We'll take a picture of Julian and say, this is a satisfied customer.
Here's the,
He'll be giving a thumbs up in the picture. Because I just took the Rice Krispie Treats recipe, and because you can't eat Rice Krispies, for example, because Rice Krispies have malt added.
Yeah.
And malt is derived from barley.
Yep.
And barley is a no-no because it has gluten in it. And I'm like, really, Kellogg's? Yep. Why Rice Krispies?
Yep.
Because there was a time when they were safe, but they're not anymore. So I fell back on the Chex.
What is it's a store brand of...
A signature. The Jewel signature brand, Rice Krispies.
And they snap crackle.
They snap, crackle, and pop, yeah. And if you,
and they're just Rice Krispies gluten-free.
In fact, they're cheaper.
Yeah.
And the box is bigger.
And it's one of the few things that is gluten-free that is actually cheaper than the non-gluten-free option.
But they're not selling it as gluten-free, so I think that's the secret. If word gets out, they'll probably slap a big label on it, and the price will go up.
Well, you will find... So we're going to put both recipes up on our blog.
Yes.
And that'll happen probably sometime tomorrow.
Yep.
And another gluten-free recipe coming up next week, but coming up now is the new... Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And I love sometimes we get some texts from people saying, you scared me. I thought my computer just burped or something.
You have to be of a certain age, though, I think, to appreciate that.
But now, boys and girls, we are going to talk technology with the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. That would be your Dr. Patrick Crispin. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Woohoo! Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Yeah. So did your wife show you what she got for Mother's Day from us?
She did. Apparently, she had an affirmation pickle sent to her.
Yes. It is an emotional support pickle. Because we love our pickles. In fact, it is be a badass pickle.
Now, we need to kind of back up a little bit and explain. When we're out in California,
yes,
there is a certain member of the entourage that has been known to
go to Disneyland.
To get the Disneyland pickle.
Park at the McDonald's across the street, scurry across.
Walk into the park.
Into the park.
Pickles. Come out and bring them back home.
Yes.
That's my wife, Christine.
Yes.
Does mm-hmm. that.
Yes, and I love her for it because I love a good pickle, and they're the best.
By the way, Christine needed that emotional pickle.
Because?
I sent her a message, and she was bereft.
What?
She was emotionally distraught because earlier this week, she missed the anniversary of the first Coca-Cola.
I can't believe it.
Actually, even worse, we're celebrating Mother's Day weekend, so mm-hmm. today is Mexican Mother's Day. So we drove down to Newport Beach and went to Rick Bayless's Red O restaurant. And apparently, Rick Bayless's Red O in Newport Beach serves Pepsi, which to Christine is like, fortunately, they did have a Mexican Coke.
So we were even better.
We were able to rescue it. So, yeah. But, you know, it was just like, no.
You know what?
Now, I'm not telling tales out of school. But again, a certain member of the entourage has been known to leave a restaurant, go across the street and buy a Coke and bring the Coke back into the restaurant that didn't serve Cokes.
Yeah. That's my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she's a Bayless, so I think she should be able to get to Rick Bayless and say, what gives, man?
Yeah,
why are you doing selling Pepsi unless they want people to try out the Mexican Coke, which is really good because it's not corn syrup. It's real sugar. Mm-hmm. So this morning I was looking at our show notes for tonight as we were eating bacon, and I went, ew.
Because one of the things on the show notes, Patrick always sends it. You know, we have kind of a loose game plan, but Patrick takes copious notes.
Because he's always the instructor at heart.
And he sent us one of the topics for tonight is
pig butchering. What?
Okay. Have you ever received a text message out of the blue, just completely weird, from a stranger, a message like, hi, or how's everything going?
Yep.
Guess what? You just met a scammer. These are not just spam messages. They're actually part of a really sophisticated and cruel scam known as pig butchering. Why is it called pig butchering?
Why is it called butchering?
There's a Chinese term, which is zhu shu pan. Easy for you to say, which is translated as killing pig plate. And the idea in this is that you are the pig. The scammers are trying to fatten you up with trust and fake friendship, sometimes even romance. And then they slaughter you financially through fake crypto investments or other scams. So the way it works is a scammer sends you just out of the blue, just random text message. It seems harmless, and then you read it. By the way, in the show notes, I included a couple that I actually received, copied straight from it. And here's the message that I got recently. Can we hope for the design to be ready by this afternoon? Or I'm waiting on the list, so either shoot it over or drop by and we'll go over it.
Really?
Or how's everything going these days? Or even hi or hello. Mm-hmm. So these text messages, by the way, normally come through text messages, but they could come through social media, DM, dating sites, other electronic communications. And the first goal of the scammers is to get you to respond, to sit there and say, who is this? Mm-hmm. Why are you contacting me? I don't know about what design are you talking about? Why would it be ready by this afternoon? You've got the wrong number. The first goal is to get you to respond. And after that, the scammers don't say, oh, sorry, you're right. They're going to say, oh, sorry, you're right. By the way, you sound like a really nice person. Tell me more about yourself. Where do you live? And let's be friends. And let's they really try to build a relationship, sometimes even romantic, and gain your trust over days and months by preying on your loneliness, preying on your desire for connection, preying on your friendship. Mm-hmm. The FBI El Paso actually released something about this, and there's a direct quote, which is, the scammers behind the fake wrong number text messages are counting on you to continue the conversation. They want to exploit your friendliness. Once they've made a connection, they'll work to become friends or even cultivate a romantic relationship. It's all a ruse designed to get you to relax and mistrust, so you will be more susceptible to falling for their scam, such as cryptocurrency investment or many others targeting you.
So this is different than the kind of thing we've talked about before, where if you click on a link, bang, they've got your computer. This is more of a long-term investment into seeing how much money and how much whatever can we get from you.
That's it. It's just they're going to keep trying to come back to you. So how do you respond to these things? Don't. Mm-hmm. Don't ever, ever, ever respond to any communication from a stranger. Your mom, tomorrow's Mother's Day, your mom was right. Don't talk to strangers. Even if it's a text message from the wrong person, don't talk to strangers. If the person truly knows you, they're going to reach out to you in other ways or through mutual friends. Mm-hmm. They're not just going to come out of the blue. If they need to get in touch with you, they'll find some way to get in touch with you. But if you get any sort of seemingly mistaken contact, you got to be suspicious. You got to be concerned and scared.
So you're saying don't even go so far as to type back and say wrong number.
Exactly.
Because then they know you're a living being on the other end.
That's it. They're looking for another way to say it is they're fishing, and they're hoping that somebody's going to bite on the hook and say, oh, I've got a good number. Oh, I'm so sorry. Terribly wrong. By the way, I was going to offer your friend an opportunity, but let me give it to you instead.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden you go from being a fish on a hook to being a pig about to be butchered.
A pig on a platter.
Oh.
And this is text. This is messaging services like WhatsApp, online dating platforms, social media, and with AI, this is becoming really, 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 really simple too. So don't explain, just delete and report.
Let me add too that Messenger on Facebook. I think tonight I erased 8 or 9 highs in Messenger. How are you? And I looked at the name and I thought, well, okay, this could be a listener, but if this is a listener that has something to say, they'll come back with something to say other than just, hi, how are you? That's really concerning, because I think my first inclination in a text message is just to write back to the person and say wrong number. But nope, 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 don't do that.
And I've had a number of these just saying hi or something. And for whatever reason, I just felt funny about it, so I just completely ignored it.
Well, I got to tell you, Patrick, I will never forget that image of pig butchering. I mean, that gets a message across. Don't go there. You do not want to be the pig on that platter that's being butchered. Ew.
They're trying to get you.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Patrick Crispin is our guest. We're talking tech. We're going to take a break, and we will come back. We got a lot of ground to cover with him here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and we're talking technology with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And Patrick, just before we broke, we've been talking about wrong number scams, a.k.a. pig butchering, and you mentioned artificial intelligence. And I don't know if you caught, we were talking earlier in the show about how the new Pope has said
that artificial intelligence is one of the most critical matters facing humanity today.
I could believe it. I mean, it is a sort of false companion that is designed to mimic back and mirror what you want to hear, not necessarily the truth. And it's really helpful, and it's also really frightening. So yeah. I'm kind of with the Pope on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was surprised, but pleased that the Pope, because basically our future is going to consist of a lot of, okay, is that the real picture? Is that the real story? Is that the real whatever?
Yeah. Patrick, before we move on, Bob Fukuda, our engineer, sent us information about an AI-dubbed Swedish film. Have you heard about this? It will be it will be in Swedish, but to make it available to the world, they will use AI that will go in and change the mouth movements of the actors and then insert whatever language, Italian or English or whatever, in the film. But AI will change the mouth movements so the words will jive with the mouth.
As opposed to closed captioning.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by this. Remember that we're still in the very early stages of AI.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My guess is, remember when they started colorizing black and white movies?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it and it looked just terrible. I think we're going to, I don't think it's going to be very good, but that doesn't mean it's not going to get good in the future.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Before we move on from pig butchering, a listener wanted to know, is this something worth reporting?
Yes, it is. What you can do in iOS, if you have an iPhone, in Messages, you can tap Report Junk. There's a link there. And it'll actually then send it to Apple to say, hey, somebody's trying to get in touch with me. As long as you haven't actually opened up the message and replied to the person. You can't report a message if you reply to it, which is also really a good reason why you should never do that. On the Android, Android's probably going to be using Google Messages. Just tap and hold the message and then click block, report spam. The other thing you could do is, and this is something that's hidden that nobody tells you about. Did you know about forwarding messages to 7726?
No.
No.
7726, if you remember how we used to be able to spell out things on touchpads, spells out spam, S-P-A-M. So you can take a message that comes to you if you've already opened it and engaged or whatever. So you want to report it, you type forward it to 7726, and that forwards it to your cell phone provider that says, hey, I got a spam message from this number.
Cool. What? Are they all on board with that?
Yeah.
That
it's one of those hidden codes.
I like that.
7726, spam.
Yeah, that would make me feel good to be able to 7726. I'm going to do that to you. Because during the break, I got to tell you, I went to the Steve and Johnny Show page, and in Messenger, we had, as we often do, these messages telling us that we've broken all the rules, and they're going to take down
we've
our...
We've had a bunch of those over the past 2 months.
And I realized the frustrating thing that we have is we have an automatic reply, so they're getting a reply. So I went in there, and I shut that down. I'm like, no, we're not going to let you monkey with us like that every week. Because, again, that's spam, right?
That is.
So,
and again, the scams are working because the people want you to be nice. They're taking advantage of it. You and I want to be nice.
Sure.
But that's what the scammers are counting on. And in this case, you got to put boundaries up and can't be nice to strangers. Your mom was right. Don't talk to strangers.
That's right.
Before we move on, and break for the news, should we have a moment or two of silence?
Oh.
For Skype.
I'm sad about Skype.
Poor little Skype. Skype who really started all of this. Oh, you want to see people? You want to talk all over the world? And I mean,
before Zoom, there was Skype.
Exactly.
And
there was Skype.
Yeah, and call me crazy, but I think when we did shows with you from Alabama, thank God we finally had Skype because we got away from that buzzing phone line from Alabama.
Yep.
Right?
But now, apparently this week, Microsoft officially shut Skype down, but they're kind of integrating some Skype things into some of their other things.
Yeah, the free version of Skype, is gone. They turned it off on May 5th. If you have Skype for Business, Skype for Business still exists for now. I don't think it's going to much longer. But the free version of Skype, that was voice, video calls, chat, screen sharing, conference calls, up to 50 people, that's gone. If you are a Skype user, you basically can log into Microsoft Teams, the free version of it, with your Skype credentials, and all of your chats, all your contacts, any Skype credits are already transferred over. So Microsoft wants you to stop using Skype. You can't use Skype. It's gone. But if you log into Microsoft Teams, the free version of it, all your old Skype stuff is there, including your credits, if you had any credits. If you don't want to use Microsoft Teams for some reason, whatever, you can use Zoom. Everybody still uses Zoom. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to use Zoom, there's still WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, Google Meet. There's hundreds of other people who are companies out there making other telecommunication platforms. But Skype is no longer. It kind of got killed, and we're going to miss it. It was certainly a pioneer.
I remember the first night.
How many years ago did that start?
Was that
2003.
Okay.
I think it was 2003.
Okay. I was thinking at least 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I remember the first night we tried Skype on the radio, mm-hmm. and we were like, oh my gosh, this is life changing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. But yeah, that was 20 years ago. Quick question. With all the brouhaha around Signal, do you think that helped Signal or hurt Signal? Do you think people flocked to Signal to try it out? Or
do you think that a lot of people like us now realize how easy it is to hack Signal,
yes.
how unsecure it is?
It turns out Signal is incredibly safe. It is the branch of Signal that was used by certain people in the government called TN Signal. That's not an official version of Signal.
Oh.
That is not safe. So Signal is still absolutely standard for anybody who wants privacy in their communications. I strongly recommend it. It's recommended around the world, but it's the TN Signal that was used by some people in leadership. Not a good thing.
Well, I'm glad I asked that question because my thought was, well, I'll never touch that. So
Signal's great.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Patrick, hang in there. More tech talk here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
Did you say something?
I love those old standards.
Excuse me? Are you speaking?
they don't write them like that anymore.
Yeah, right.
We are talking tech, cyberspace.
Cyberspace! Somebody got paid to sound like that, which I just can't even believe. Okay, moving on.
So much stuff to get to. Do we want to pause for a second? We're talking with Dr. Patrick Crisman. Do we want to pause and answer a question that we had from one of our listeners who was responding to or posting some of Patrick's notes, and we will post Patrick's notes on our blog tomorrow. But he had a question about something called Perplexity.
I'm happy to answer the question about Perplexity, about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There, perplexity.ai, so it's not perplexity.com, but perplexity.ai. It's one of a whole bunch of new AI-powered search engines and sort of AI assistant apps that run on Android or iPhone. So think of it like a conversational interface that combines a traditional web search, in this case, Perplexity is using Bing, with AI-generated answers using models like ChatGPT. It's like chat meets search. Hmm. So instead of you going to Google and typing in the search box and saying, show me, you know, the best routers for 2025, you can have a conversation saying, hey, I'm looking for the best routers of 2025. It then does a search for you and has a conversation with you saying, okay, here's what I got. And you can kind of say, no, that's not really what I was looking for. I was looking for something smaller for a small business. And you can kind of go back and forth with it. For basic users, Perplexity.ai is absolutely free of charge, and there are a whole bunch of other ones out there, but it is what's called freemium. We haven't talked about this before. Are you aware what freemium is?
No.
I assume it means it's you're not paying the premium because you're getting it freemium.
Close to it. Freemium means that you get the basic version absolutely free. It doesn't cost anything. But if you want to pay, you can swap out and get some more advanced features. For example, instead of using ChatGPT, you could say, you know what, Perplexity, I don't want you using ChatGPT when you talk to me. Use Claude or Gemini or Llama or something like that. So the fundamental question is Perplexity.ai better than Google? And the answer is maybe, kind of, in some cases, maybe. If you're looking for a direct synthesized answer to a question, it's actually a little better than Google before they added the AI feature to Google, where it would give you the answer that you're looking for instead of links to the particular answer. Google is kind of getting into this game as well. And it's really good at following up, so you can have a conversation. There are a couple caveats here. First of all, it can make mistakes. AI tends to what we call hallucinate or make things up.
What?
It's called hallucination, honest to God. I'm doing a survey of the faculty for USC, and about 530 faculty members filled out the survey. And I decided to have ChatGPT write a report on what the faculty said. And it was a really compelling report. And then when I went back and read what the faculty actually said, and none of the report was real. ChatGPT had just made it up.
Really?
It was just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So like generative AI, it can lie to you. It can make mistakes. So you cannot just say, oh, well, I found the answer. No, you found an answer, not the answer.
Wow.
Is there any way, probably a dumb question, is there any way, as you're asking your question, you can say, and don't lie?
No, because it wants to give you what you're looking for and doesn't necessarily know. It is more interested in making you happy than doing it right or doing it perfectly.
Really?
That's how AI has been trained. AI is there to make you happy, not necessarily be correct. The other thing to remember is that Perplexity, if you've done any internet searches or you've been on the tech blogs for a while, Perplexity's got into trouble a couple times for how it gets the data that it used to train its AI. And they've had some publishers sue them, and just be aware. The other thing to be aware of, and this kind of creeped me out, Perplexity, their CEO appeared on a blog, on a podcast the other day, and I listened to the podcast, and he announced that they are launching a browser that's going to reportedly track everything you do everywhere on the internet in order to deliver hyper-personalized ads. In other words, they're going to be building an AI-enhanced surveillance browser that turns your entire browsing history into a marketing profile. You can understand that's probably a little controversial, and I'm not sure a lot of people. That said, OpenAI is also working on a competing browser, so they're not alone in wanting to do this. Bottom line, Perplexity.ai, it's impressive. If you're looking for quick research style queries, it's pretty good. Not a Google killer. And if you're looking for a competitor, Google or you.com or OpenAI's ChatGPT. That's what I use. It's got a web search built into it. Anthropic, Claude, Microsoft Copilot, all those tools now will, instead of you doing what you used to do with Google, you got a box and you just type in an answer. You can now have a chat with any of the major AI platforms out there and really kind of get closer to the information, or at least what the AI thinks you want the information to be.
Is anybody working on my don't lie idea? Because you would think that there would be some need for somebody saying, okay, I want to find out about this, but give me the facts.
They are. This is all part of something called alignment, where you're trying to get the AI to, you kind of put guardrails up what the AI can and cannot do. And they're trying to cut down on this hallucination, and it's getting better. It's a lot better than it used to be, but it's a lot more difficult to just say, don't lie. Because sometimes, as you and I know, in social environments, sometimes a lie is something you need to say. If your son comes up to you and hands you a piece of paper and says, what do you think, Daddy? I drew it. And in your head is, oh my God, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. Did we drop you on your head as a child? You're not going to say that out loud.
but see,
you're going to sit there and say, that's the most beautiful picture ever. Let me put it up on the refrigerator.
See, there I default to my dad's trick. Somebody comes in, they're wearing an outfit, you think it's horrible. How do I look? You know, that's you.
That's it.
There you go. You haven't lied.
Well, can I just take you back to the name Perplexity? I find that an odd choice for
perplexing.
A name.
Perplexing.
Because I'm like, really? Why would I want to gravitate towards something that at the outset is perplexing? I don't understand it, but I love hallucinating. I think that really, that says it all. That is one of the best descriptive terms they've come
far
up with.
Far out, man.
Just hallucinating.
It is hallucination.
Is this something that you would use strictly on a Windows machine or?
No, it's on the browser. And actually, there is a Perplexity app that you can download and install on your phone. But honestly, again, there are so many different companies out there. If you've got ChatGPT, just go to chat.com. There is, at chat.com, the ability for you to search the web.
I'm looking here at a review of Perplexity, 4.8 out of 5 stars. And then I looked real close.
Was the review written by Perplexity?
It's just trying to make me happy. That's all. You know, seven people did that review. And I'm like, really? That's what you're advertising? 7 people have reviewed it? Well, I'm glad the listener brought it up, though, because this is completely new to me. And that's why Patrick joins us a couple times a month. We're going to take a break, come back. We got more ground to cover, talking tech with Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And Patrick, if anybody wants to follow you, where should they go? What should they do? And I hear
Foxy.
Do I hear Foxy in the background?
Foxy's in the background. Sorry about that. He's like chasing, making lots of noise.
He's chasing ChatGPT?
No, that's a hallucination of a dog.
Okay.
How do people find you? On Blue Sky?
Honestly, just look for Patrick Crispin on Blue Sky.
Okay. Scott is listening to us from Pierre, South Dakota. And he says, Patrick, do you have a software recommendation for something that will remove duplicates from Apple Photos? The included duplicate remover just doesn't seem to work that well for me.
I agree. It's not the greatest. There are two that I recommend. Unfortunately, neither are free. There's a tool called Power Photos from a company called Fat Cat Software. And if you just do a search for Power Photos by Fat Cat Software, you can get it. I think it's like $35. So it's not the cheapest, $35, $36. The other one is something called Gemini 2 from a company called MacPaw, MacPaw. And that actually has, I think, a monthly subscription. It's only like a couple bucks, so like $20 a year. Either one of those things will find duplicates, not only your photos, but throughout your entire hard drive.
Hmm. Do they have anything like that for Android?
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to find out, because that would come in handy, because I look at the duplicates of stuff I've got. I'm like, oh, that just takes too much time to go through all that and manually clear everything out. So, all right, before we run out of time, should we talk next about, do you want to do the Siri settlement, or do you want to do This Week in Hacks?
Let's do Apple Siri settlement. Okay. We talked about this back on January 10th. Apple has agreed to pay $95 million because Siri would wake up when you didn't say Siri. By the way, it's now waking up for everybody. I apologize. S-I-R-I. So all the people as Apple's just woke up. I apologize. So we capture snippets of what's going on before you said, hey, S-I-R-I, and send it to Apple servers. If you had a SIRI enabled device between September 17th, 2014 and December 31st, 2024. And you can attest that SIRI accidentally activated and recorded you like it's doing right now. You may be eligible for up to $20 per device. You should have received some sort of postcard or email with your claimant ID and claimant code. And if you have that, there is, if you go to LopezVoiceAssistantSettlement.com, this will be in the show notes, and just put in the code before July 2nd, you can claim your $20 per device. What happens if you didn't get the code sent to you by email? You can still file, and this is something that Johnny and I were texting about. There's a catch there. If you try to file, it's going to sit there and say, oh, sure, we'll let you file. I just need the receipt or invoice for every SIRI enabled device you ever owned in the last 10 years, which nobody has.
No.
Or you need to know your serial number for every device that you had, which again, I don't have. So I'm sure the lawyers are going to make a lot of money off of this, because very few people are going to be able to claim it. But if you want to claim your, it's $20 per device, up to $20 per device. Look at your mail and see if you got something. If you got the code, it's Lopez Voice Settlement, voiceassistantsettlement.com. And you have until July 2nd to send in the code.
And this has been going on for, what, 5 years?
Oh, it's been going. And Apple just kind of said, you know what, this is just nuisance. We're going to stop.
So really, they're not admitting any guilt. They're just saying, we just want this to go away. You know,
they
just
deny any wrongdoing, but they just said, you know, this is a couple minutes worth of business for Apple, because you know, it's a multi-billion dollar company. It's like, okay, $95 million. There's a check. Go away.
Wow. And then if you have five devices, you get a big whopping $100 for your time in trouble.
Up to $100.
But I wonder if you bought those five devices on Google or on Amazon, wouldn't there be a record of the purchases?
There might be, but there might not be. There might be a record of the serial number as well. Maybe if it was on the invoice, if you have access to it, but that's going to be the hard part. If you bought it from your telephone company, your cell provider, you might be able to find that in your. But it's just so much work, and I mean, it is free money, but I'm not sure I'm going to go hunt this thing down.
Well, that was my next question. Are you going to do this just to see how it works? But you're not.
No.
I feel like I'm hallucinating. This is crazy. All right. Hacks.
We need to touch on This Week in Hacks.
Yeah, real quickly. And we talked about this before the break. Signal, perfectly fine. Signal is a end-to-end encryption messaging service. Source code's open, collects virtually no user data. And if you're a journalist, or if you're an activist, you're privacy conscious, you'll love this platform. There is a unofficial version of it, a modified version of it called TMSGNL, TM Signal. And it's developed by a company called Telemessage. It's an Israeli company. And unlike Signal, Signal's perfectly fine, TM Signal includes features for message archiving, reportedly so that it could fit in with legal archiving laws. However, recent investigations have uncovered significant security flaws in TM Signal. In particular, message, if you send a message in TM Signal, not Signal, but TM Signal, or even from TM Signal to some other person, they were transmitted back to this archive server in plain text. So your encrypted message was unencrypted and sent back to the Israeli company to store on their servers, making them accessible.
Oops.
Why does this matter? TM Signal was hacked, exposing sensitive data, including unencrypted chat logs and user information. And TM Signal is the completely unofficial Signal clone used by the Trump administration, including Mike Waltz, J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Tulsi Gabbard. To be clear, Signal has not been breached. Signal is fine, still considered to be trustworthy. But TM Signal has been breached and is no longer trustworthy. If you've used it, you need to stop and assume your messages aren't just archived, they're compromised. And if you're involved in the national security at the highest level, you got a problem. Because your private messages were sent unencrypted to his Israeli company and their servers got hacked.
Wow. Well, but Patrick, you have to realize the Department of Efficiency was trying to cut down on cost. That's why they were using this version of Signal.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to ask you to
Signal's good. Signal's good.
Yeah.
TM Signal, not good.
I'm going to ask you to take off your tech hat for just a moment. We have about a minute and a half before we say goodnight.
But, and by the way, in 2 weeks, we will be talking about routers.
Because
we had some questions about that.
Yes.
So that's going to be 2 weeks from now. Mark this space. That's the next episode.
So a couple of listeners started the show tonight and said, how's Joseph doing? Can we just quickly mention your trip to Midway last week?
Last week, 2 weeks ago, we were actually in San Francisco, and we're in Alameda and drove by the USS Hornet, and Joseph saw it and really wanted to go on, and we didn't have time because I'm selfish and I wanted to go to the Apple headquarters, because it's me. But we promised Joseph that there is a USS Midway down in San Diego. So we drove down last weekend to the USS Midway, and he had the greatest time ever. He was exploring every part of this. This is, again, sort of a post-World War II aircraft carrier. I think it came online in 1946. And what was great is we went up to the flight deck, and they had some docents there. We got to sit down, and there was one of the docents who was talking, saying, you know, I flew off of this ship. I was here.
Wow.
I did 300 takeoffs and 300 landings, which, you know, that means he's a good pilot on an aircraft carrier, and was explaining what it was like to launch and how they did the launch. Joseph went to town on that.
Oh,
it was
that's
just
cool.
Fantastic.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And but would you be okay if we posted a picture of Joseph sitting in the cockpit?
Of course.
Oh, it's a great picture, too. This boy looks like, this is my idea of heaven. This is the coolest. Well, again, Patrick, thank you so much. Enjoy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
With your Christine and her emotional pickle.
Yes.
Her emotional support pickle. Thank you, Patrick. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
now.
Patrick. And we will talk about the routers next time.
Mm-hmm.
But the picture of Joseph, we have to put that picture up.
Yes. Very sweet. What a great day, too.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
How cool.
You when you were young and knew just when to come and see what you had done, Mama. Oh, Mama. And who's the one who patched your eye and told you not to cry, 'cause he was too big for you to try? Mama. And who's the
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Happy Mother's Day.
That's a good song, too. B.J. Thomas.
B.J. Thomas, yeah. Mm.
There's some good mama songs, but that may be one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So we started out the show talking about the fact that today, Sunday, is in fact Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And I just recently learned that the woman who started Mother's Day wanted to make it go away because it became too commercial, in her opinion. I thought, well, yeah. That's why we have Secretary's Day, and that's why we have Dog mm-hmm. Day. And, well, at the top of the show, we were talking about mama-isms. And I've always said a mama-ism is...
Is it mama-ism or mommy-ism?
It's mama in my world.
Okay.
Things that mom would say to you, it's like gospel. If mom says it, you better mm-hmm. believe this is the word. And I said, you know, send us a text, 312-981-7200. Tell us some of the things that you grew up hearing. And here are just a couple of them that came in. And you can add to this list if you'd like. As long as you live under my roof, you will do as I say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I don't remember my dad ever saying that, but my mother always said that. As long as you're living under my roof. Mm-hmm. Okay. You will eat it and you will like it.
Hmm.
That's what a 773 said. Probably a picky eater. You will eat it and you will like it.
Well, then there was always the, speaking of eating it, the if you don't finish eating that, you don't get any dessert.
Oh,
I mean, that was the threat.
Well, we never had dessert. So it was like my mother was so calorie conscious that we didn't do dessert. And in fact, when they bought cookies, they would buy only the cookies that I hated, the ones that I thought had fat in them. And that was the marshmallow cookie. I was convinced that was like a big blob of fat on a very lame cookie. And I was like, really? Why do we have to have these? And my dad smiling like, no one else likes them but me. That's why. All right. This one from 847 area code. I'm only telling you because I'm your mother.
Yeah.
I'm your mother. Eat your cereal. Blow your nose. That's 773 area code. Eat your cereal.
Blow your nose.
Oh.
Do they have to go together?
A couple of people said, "In who hasn't heard this one? Wear clean underwear. You never know if you're going to be in an accident." I'm like, really? Okay. I wonder if moms say that today. Wear clean underwear. You never know if you're going to be in an accident.
I've been told that.
Have you really?
I keep a go bag in my car. You never know.
Wait, Mr. Ambulance Man, let me change real quick.
My mind just went to something. Speaking of underwear. Okay. Was it last Saturday when we were coming to
Earth? Excuse me?
And we saw the guy who, this is a classic case of wearing the pants down to your...
Oh.
And this was...
We could see all of his underwear.
Yeah.
And he was trying to walk across the street. It was really...
It was... I wanted to take a picture. It was hilariously sad that anyone would think that what this was going on was a good fashion statement. On it any was, level, it was so
his pants
weird.
Were below his butt cheeks.
Yeah.
So he no longer had the butt to hold the pants up. Now he was below that point.
But now, if I recall, you could clearly see his underwear and how it was engaging his butt cheeks.
Yes. It was very, and he was having a hard time walking across the street because the light was going to change. And he's like hustling. It was as though
it was so weird.
It's like he had his knees tied together and he's trying to shuffle across the street quickly before he lost his pants.
And I wanted to accept, I knew it would start a confrontation that I had no interest in getting into, but I wanted to say to him, on what universe is what you're doing considered cool? And obviously he thought it was because he was doing it, but it was what?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Back to mommy underwear.
Yes, always wear clean underwear. All right, a couple more here from listeners, because I said so. A couple of people said they heard that a lot in their life. Yeah. I always heard that because I said so. If I tell you that it's raining and it's not, believe me, it's raining because I said so. This was one, let's see here. Let me scroll down here. I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
Or if you didn't like what was for dinner, my mom would say, I'm not running a restaurant. Don't eat it or make yourself something. Well, see, that was better than threatening you not to have any dessert. Let me see here. I'm scrolling through because these came in throughout the show tonight. You'd better wipe that smile off your face or else. Did you ever hear that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I learned early on that that was a way to kind of aggravate my mother. If she was being real serious and I just smiled at her, she was like, wipe that smile off your face right now. I'm like, okay. And I still smile, which was evil. But we all went through that phase, right? Running away, let me help you pack.
Never got that one.
Yeah. Okay. I never threatened to run away because I was afraid she would help me back. And I would be really sorry about that.
My mom would be devastated the day I decide to go off on my own.
You think?
She just wanted me to stay home forever. She's like, no, you can stay here.
But you have a brother. He could stay there, right?
Two brothers.
Oh, you have two brothers. I guess I didn't know.
And your
that.
One brother could pretend to be you and she wouldn't know.
Yeah, we've been confused a lot.
How about clean your room? Did you get nagged about clean your room?
Yeah. I was one of those kids.
Yeah. So my dad, I know I've told this story before. I'll transition from moms to dad for a moment. Because my mother was nowhere near as fastidious as my dad was. He was actually kind of weird when it came to things being out of place. For example, back when people smoked, if you were at the house and you had a cigarette and you put your cigarette out in the ashtray, he would promptly get up and take the ashtray and empty it. I'm like, really? Okay. But it bothered him. So I was living in Aurora, but I had come back for the weekend and I was in my old room. And on my nightstand, I had a juice glass and a half of glass of water in that juice glass. Why? Because I had forgotten my contact lens case at my house in Aurora. So I just popped my contact lenses out and I put them in the juice glass. And I know that's not a good thing to do, float them in water, but I didn't have any other options. And I wake up the next morning and there's no juice glass there. My dad had walked by a darkened room and saw just the glint of a glass sitting there. And he was like, I've got to get that glass. And I've got to pour out that water and clean this glass. And there were my contact lenses. Thankfully, the drain caught them. Because when I woke up and I freaked out because I wasn't traveling with glasses, there's no way I would have been able to drive home. I could not have done anything. And all he would say was, well, why'd you put him in a glass? Because I had no other option. But why'd you put him in a glass? Dad, come on. But it just, he was complete by going in there and taking that glass with a little bit of water in it and emptying it out and cleaning the glass and putting it in the drainer.
He was a little bit Sheldon-like.
He was. He was.
And my mother, when it came to that.
My mom would just lay back and say, let him knock himself out because he's cleaning the house. Yep. He's following behind people, picking up behind them. And okay, little mommyisms for you this morning. Stay with us here on WGN.
Get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes. Hear the words I said. Get up now. Get up and make your bed. Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast. The experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tough. Because remember, the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3 today. Don't forget, your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel. Choose lovely, but hurry. The bus is here. Be careful. Come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside. Don't play rough. Would you just play fair? Be polite. Make a friend. Don't forget to share. Work it out. Wait your turn. Never take a dare. Get along. Don't make me come down there. Clean your room. Fold your clothes. Put your stuff away. Make your bed. Do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Answer the phone. Get off the phone. Don't sit so close. Turn it down. No texting at the table. No more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod if you don't listen up. Where you going and what room and what time do you think you're coming home? Saying thank you, please, excuse me makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly. But right now, I'd thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew. We'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two, of the stuff you hate. Use your fork. Do not burp or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A. Get the door. Don't be smart with me. Get a grip. Get in here. I'll count two, three. Get a job. Get a life. Get a PhD. Get a dose of I don't care who started. You're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said at least a thousand times before that you're too old to act this way. It must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place. For everything and everything must be in place. Stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Oh! Wash your teeth, wash your face, get your PJs on, get in bed, get a hug, say a prayer with mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again, because our moms are better. You don't need the reason why. Because. I said so. I'm the mom.
I always thought if the subject of eyes came up, it was a serious conversation. Either the don't roll your eyes at me or are you looking at me?
Oh, that song, 3 minutes. She hits on all of them. That's Anita Renfro.
It's wonderful. And that was a live performance.
Which is amazing, too. But she's singing as a mom. She's singing from her heart. Mm-hmm. Everyone, oh, don't look at me. I'll give you something to look at. Anita Renfro. I wonder if she's still around.
Because that was done several years ago.
Yeah, I think it was probably it was back when we were doing the all-night show when we first came across her. So it's about 12, 13 years ago. Okay. And it was on a Mother's Day that we played the song. And I said, could there be any more? And to the William Tell Overture, no less, which is just so
brilliant.
Yes. Which makes me think of the very last song I played for my mother on the accordion was, in fact, the William Tell Overture. And then I laid that blue pearl accordion into its velvet case. I closed that lid and I snapped it. And it was a snap that to this day I can hear because it was being snapped closed forever, never to be played again.
It's a shame that they didn't have cool New Orleans accordion music when you were learning
how
to play
accordion. Well, they may have, yeah.
But you weren't exposed to it.
I was not exposed to it. And which makes me think, I'm taking a left turn on you, but I'm using my blinker.
Okay.
There's a story in New York Times about Pope Leo's Cajun roots.
Oh, yeah. I saw that, and I went to read it, and it was one of those, unless you subscribe to the New York Times thing.
It really got my attention, though, because it was a great picture. I think it's on his mother's side that they're New Orleans Cajun.
And I want to hear more about his musical involvement, because apparently he was known to sit in at a lot of jazz places in Chicago playing trombone.
Yes, Julian, had you heard that the new Pope is a jazz musician?
That's news to me.
Get a load of his jazz name. Bobby Prev.
Groovy.
That is his name, that he was known at jazz festivals.
And he sat in. There may actually somewhere, because a lot of them were recorded, there may be some recording of him. And I bet people are searching right now, because he would hang out at a lot of the jazz clubs in Chicago and play trombone.
Wait. Are you sure it was trombone?
I thought it was trombone. No, I thought it was trombone.
Hmm.
I could be wrong.
I'm looking up Bobby.
It happened at least once before in my
Bobby Prev. I love that.
Hey, Bobby Prev here.
Jazz musician. Let me see what it comes up as. Because I had a great picture of him with his horn. Yeah, you're right. You know your horns. Snopes says there's no proof that Pope Leo played jazz trombone under the name of Bobby Prev. Well, what?
But there's
every
the picture.
News outlet carried the picture.
And that was not an AI picture.
No. He played the trombone in a jazz band in the 70s and 80s.
And who was? We were reading an article, and there was some other Chicago musician
that said
that had worked with him.
With him, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's the picture of him playing the trombone.
Yeah. And that's not AI.
No. According to claims, Leo played, listen to Snopes, it's been a couple of days and they're just calling him Leo. He played in Chicago music circles under the name Bobby Prev. Well, we actually saw an interview with musicians from Chicago. May 8th, Dateline Vatican City, before ascending to the papacy as Pope Leo, Robert Francis Prevost led a surprising double life, acclaimed theologian by day, celebrated jazz trombonist by night. And they're saying that's not true, but that was Dateline Vatican City. Remember the guitarist,
and
priest,
I'm trying to think of his Father John Mueller?
You might be right.
Because we had him in studio with us.
Yes.
Great jazz guitar player.
Catholic priest. Does shows.
Yeah.
I don't care what Snopes says.
Put out several albums.
You're right.
Good albums.
Yeah.
He's a good jazz guy. And one of the first times we had him in was with Paul Wertico, I believe.
Yes, the drummer, Paul Wertico. That's right. So take that. I like the image of him playing trombone in jazz bands. I'm okay with that, so hush up, Snopes. We'll take a break and be right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yeah. Etta James, Tell Mama. Oh, boy. She was just so good. If you ever get the chance, in fact, one of these nights we need to play a little bit of it. There was a live album that Etta James did in the mid to late 60s. I think it was recorded at a Memphis club. And she did live versions of Baby, What You Want Me to Do, and just some serious good stuff.
So she's been gone? Well, gosh. I was thinking it was recently, but it was actually January of 2012.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
What a pioneer.
Mm.
What a voice.
So a listener sends me this picture. apparently this popped up on somebody's Western suburban Chicago Facebook page.
Okay.
And it's a picture of a plate of cookies. And each cookie looks like a sperm. So it's a little round with a little tail on the end of it.
Yeah.
And on the plate, there are 2, 4, 6, 7 of these cookies.
Yeah.
And each one has one of the kids' names on it.
What?
Yes. And then there's one bigger cookie that says, Happy Mother's Day.
What?
I know.
Okay.
Says, yeah, how do you like this?
I wonder how mom would react to that one.
Yeah.
I would think that they would all be out of the will after the, oh, good grief.
The picture. So, there. You got little faces.
Johnny's holding it up for Julian to
little
see.
Little faces on each one of the sperm cookies.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes.
It is a hoot.
And then.
My mom would either take you out of the will, or you'd realize she had a wonderful sense of humor.
Well, I'm looking here. This person says,
Of course, you'd have to know your mom.
Oh,
I wouldn't have given that to my mom.
Well, you know what? If you have 7 kids, though, you've got to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like you. Well, I would never have to. My mom had a sense of humor, but that's, no. You got 7 kids. Yeah, you found a lot to laugh about over the years. I like this reaction. Wondering if this person's going to be in an obituary soon. Yeah, you got to have a good sense of humor because it's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's Vicky and Gina and Jesse and Glenn, and they're all named on the sperm cookies.
Why does that make me think of... We're watching a little bit of Wheel of Fortune. Yes, we watch Wheel of Fortune, and Ryan Seacrest is a wonderful host. And they were interviewing this one woman who had how many kids? And she was talking about her hunky husband, and that's why she has so many kids.
Yeah, well, she was raving about her good-looking hunky husband. And then she says, and we have 4 kids, but that's probably why we have 4 kids.
Yeah.
There's a big controversy about the Wheel of Fortune. Because as of Friday night's episode, there had been 8 in a row where no one had won the big deal,
yeah.
The $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 prize. And you know, I've been throwing things at the TV because I'm like, who does accomplished aviator? That's the stupidest thing I've ever.
And that was in their one of their occupations, or I forget.
People. Okay. How about activities? Rummaging in your backyard. No. You rummage in your closet. You rummage in your cabinet. No one.
No, that was phrase. That wasn't activities. It's like,
but it was a phrase. Okay.
Thing, phrase,
all right.
Person.
But who rummages in their backyard? And I said to you, they don't want to give any money out. These are crazy things.
I think they're saving this money to build up for the $1 million giveaway because that will happen and you'll have publicity about it. Oh, you get to see it this week.
And then all of us who are complaining about the stupid big prize and the bonus and because I'm like 8 times in a row and nobody has guessed it. But who rummages around in their backyard? Am I right? Is that weird? Tell me I'm right. Say I'm right, or you don't get dinner when you get home.
Who still rummages?
I know. That's good, too.
You're right, dear.
He's already asked me what's for dinner when we get home.
Spam, probably.
Well, no, he would actually like that. So, actually, we're having... When you were growing up, did you get to eat at Walgreens?
What?
See?
Walgreens used to have...
Restaurants.
Restaurants that were called Wags.
What?
Yes.
And they were great restaurants. They had great burgers.
Oh, man. When they did strawberry shortcake, oh, my gosh. With fresh strawberries?
That there was on the corner of State and Randolph, on the... Was it the
Sounds
northwest
good.
Corner?
Yeah.
They had a great Walgreens that had a Wags.
And it was a
like
sit-down.
You go down... Yeah.
Yeah, you sit down. So what I loved about Wags was there would be numbers next to So I'll take a number three. So that's what we do in our house. I've numbered our meals.
You got a menu on the wall?
Yes. So I said, so he said, what are we having when we get home? And I said, we're having number sevens tonight. And that is the tuna plate. That's the tomato with the scoop of tuna on the bed of lettuce with the crackers around the...
Oh, yuck.
What? What?
Okay. Mom story.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a grandma story.
Okay.
So the whole, you know, you're not leaving until you finish your plate. My grandmother was a terrible cook. Oh. She would make us...
Wait, you have to say bless her heart.
Bless her heart. Terrible cook. She would make tuna with an assortment of vegetables that you just think, who came up with this combination? So we would have corn with tuna, celery with tuna, peas with tuna, and I was the only one that was just, I would sit there all night until my mother came to pick us up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was disgusting.
So how was she serving the tuna? Like out of the can?
Straight out of the can.
Mixing it with the vegetables?
Mm-hmm.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, bless her heart.
Because Steve actually loves tuna noodle casserole.
Oh, Johnny makes the... In fact, some night she should make it, bring it in, not tell you what it is, and you would love it.
No. I'm hitting the mute button. Thank you.
No. In fact...
We had... we talked about it, Paul Harvey contacted us. He wanted Johnny's tuna noodle casserole recipe.
And I didn't send it. And do you know that he called out the big guns? They called over and they said, Mr. Harvey really wants your recipe. And I'm like, you're
Remember,
not kidding?
His personal secretary, Joan.
Yes, Joan called me and she said, no, he's not kidding. He really wants it. He wants to give it to his staff. And I was like, well, this is embarrassing. She goes, no. He heard you talking about it at 3 o'clock in the morning on his way into work, and he can't get it out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. So, but it's basically mac and cheese with tuna and peas and potato chips crumbled up on top.
It sounds weird, but it's wonderful. And it's this nice little bit of a crunchiness to it.
It's not good.
I lost my appetite.
It's not good at all.
Well, and more for me.
Yeah.
What is that? Oh, is that the?
It's not. Yep, is that? Is that the tuna machine?
Speaking of big prizes,
it's Big Bob on his Zamboni.
It's Big Plug Bob,
saved by the Bob.
Yes, and the blue lights are starting to flash.
Tuna
so
noodle casserole.
Get your dial and figure ready. 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. If you would like to be our last caller.
And if you're really good, I'll send you the recipe for a tuna noodle casserole.
You're getting me hungry for tuna noodle casserole.
You're having tuna salad. You're not having tuna noodle casserole. Tuna salad's already made. I got these beautiful tomatoes. I'm going to scoop it out and put the tuna fish inside. I'll lay down a bed of lettuce. Put some little crackers around it. You're going to love it. It's a number seven, a Wags number seven, unless you want Wags number four.
312-981-7200.
You don't want to know what four is.
If you would like to be our... last call, and you don't have to have anything pithy to say, although you can if you want to.
You could just tell us if you hate tuna noodle casserole. In fact, 319 says, I forgot the mushroom soup. That's right, Julian. It has mushroom soup in it.
No, thank you. I hate tuna casserole. Anything casserole, right out. You're fired.
319 says, hated it as a little kid until my mom called it cowboy chow. And then we
there
ate
you go.
It. Then it was okay.
If you would like to win some goodies from the radio station, as long as you haven't won anything from this here radio place in the last 2 months or 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever, blah, 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 blah. So 312-981-7200. That is the phone number that you should call while Johnny coughs.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep. Losing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Oops. We didn't sing along.
We didn't.
I was getting over a little coughing spell. I noticed every Sunday morning in the last
for the past couple of weeks.
The last few minutes of the show, we either run out of words or I start coughing. So I apologize.
Well, we should remind you that next week we have a full show.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean it starts at 9 o'clock. And Susie Boggess is going to join us. And we're going to give you a little more information on the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66 ceremony that we're going to be inducting Susie on. That will be in September. But she's going to join us next week. Also, Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide, is going to join us.
A lot to talk about with him. And a few surprises up our sleeve, but you have to be here to find out what they are.
And Johnny's gluten-free recipes will be posted within the next 24 hours.
Right.
And,
for the month of May, every Saturday night, I'm just taking a few minutes to share with you some gluten-free tips. And a listener, real quick, I want to sneak this in. 773 area code says, I love your show. Can you tell me your symptoms of celiac and how you were diagnosed? Maybe we'll spend some time next week and talk about that. Because it, you know, over 20 years ago, we were in... Yeah. Uncharted territory.
The very short story, and we'll to share a little more about it next week. The very short story, I was losing 12 pounds a week.
A week.
They thought I had cancer. I got very lucky, got a European doctor who recognized the signs. He said, have you ever been tested for celiac sprue? I said, I never heard of it.
So he said, we're going to do an intestinal biopsy. Mm-hmm. And he came out of the, I guess you were in an operating room, and he came up to me and he says, it's all good. He has celiac disease. And I said, huh? How do you spell that? And thank goodness we had the internet at that time. He spelled it for me. He said, look it up and realize that you can live on steak and potatoes and rice and chocolate, most chocolate, and life will be good. And I thought, well, this is what medicine. No medicine. You just change your diet.
But life has changed significantly since then. The gluten-free options are out there, and they taste, if they're well made, they taste really good. But we'll get into that a little more next
because
week.
Because May is, in fact, Celiac Awareness Month.
But now, 'tis time for the last caller, and... I'm going to pick because last week I didn't get a chance, and I was going to pick caller number 4 last week because it was May the 4th be with you. So I didn't. So this is the after the May the 4th. Okay. I'm picking the 4th caller, and that would be Officer Robert. Good morning, Officer Robert. Are we well protected this morning?
Good morning. Yes, you are. I think so anyway.
Well, thank you.
And Officer Robert, where are you patrolling?
I'm up in the far northern suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully it's quiet tonight.
So far it has been.
Good.
Okay, I have to ask you, can you tell, as we can, having done this for a long time, even without looking, we can tell when there's a full moon by the kind of crazy calls we get or crazy texts we get. Can you tell without looking up if there's a crazy call by the activity you're dealing with? Or if it's a full moon?
There are times when you do feel that way, yes.
There are some times when you like, because I know we've talked to folks that work the emergency room, and they say, oh, you're driving to work and you see that moon, you go, no, I don't want to go in tonight.
It's even worse if it's Friday the 13th.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're so right. So how long have you been a police officer?
I went through the academy back in 1992.
Oh,
I bet you've seen some changes.
Yeah, in 30
quite
years.
Quite a bit. I've got about 2 years left.
Oh, well, good for you. Now, do you always work the night shift?
I've been on midnights now for 18 years.
What?
Oh, you need to write the book.
Oh, my God.
I've been listening to you folks since before 2007.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm thinking, that made me think of the time that we had an officer call in, and he said, I'm here with someone that I have pulled over for speeding, and he claims it's something you're playing on the radio. And we were actually talking to the officer to confirm that the guy was listening to a song we were playing.
Yeah.
He says, okay, I think I can let him slide. He wasn't lying, which was pretty crazy.
Hilarious.
Yeah, pretty crazy. So do you work all weekends?
Well, my days off rotate throughout the week, so I don't get weekends off too often, but I'm glad now that you're back on Sunday morning.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
And you turned me on to Tommy Emmanuel.
Really?
Oh, yes. And did you hear us mention that Tommy, he just announced he's going to be playing Carnegie Hall?
No, I hadn't.
This is one of those, I would imagine, it's a bucket list thing because he's worked so hard. I mean, he's like, well, we call him Tigger from Winnie the Pooh because he's just boundless energy, and to be able to play Carnegie Hall.
Well, he did play Carnegie Hall one time before. It was for Les Paul's 90th birthday celebration.
Yes, but it wasn't him really on the marquee.
Right.
So, well, what's on the agenda for your Sunday? Now, when you go home, do you sleep in shifts the way we did for almost 30 years, or how do you deal with it?
I typically would stay up till early afternoon and sleep until early evening, but I happen to be off the next couple days, so I'm just going to stay awake tomorrow.
Okay.
If I can ask you, there are sometimes when we get home, and this is just after doing a 5-hour show, and it takes a while to unwind. How do you unwind after a week, a night of seeing some things that you probably don't want to share with us? Are there things that you can do that really put your mind in a different place?
I typically either go running or I'll go to the gym.
Oh,
okay.
Listen to my music and just kind of zone everything else out.
Mm-hmm. Just work it out.
Yes.
Well, what kind of music do you most often listen to?
You know, when I put my playlist on shuffle, it could be Bach, it could be ZZ Top. You don't know what's going to pop up.
Are you a musician?
Back when I was in high school, but not since.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you after all these years, Officer Robert. And
do you have a copy of our Life After Dark CD?
I don't. I did get a CD from you once, and that's when you had G.B. Layton on.
Oh, my gosh. G.B. Layton from Minnesota.
Yes, and he was just announced his album, Hope, 1 Mile.
Wow, and, what a memory. Yeah.
You were giving away copies once an hour, and I got the last copy at the 5 o'clock hour.
Wow.
Well, if you still have a working CD player, we will send you a copy of our Life After Dark CD.
I've got a VHS tape player, if you got that, too.
We just celebrated the 25th anniversary of that CD, and the amazing thing is, Robert, you'll go through it, and you say, wait a minute, these people are all still working today, which is pretty cool. Well, it's nice to meet you. If you hang on for a second, Julian, we'll get some info from you off the air, and we'll also send you an official WGN T-shirt, because we would be honored to see you in that T-shirt at the gym.
And thanks so much for hanging out with us, Robert. We really appreciate it. wow. This has been a fast 5 hours.
And just think, you get to go home to tuna.
Tuna noodle casserole?
No, in a little tomato on a bed of lettuce with some crackers on the side. Yum, 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 yum. So yummy.
Our thanks to Nikki and Rich, Nikki O'Neill and Rich Lakowski. It was an absolute treat meeting them and hearing them perform.
Yes, and our thanks to Julian for bringing in all the equipment to do video of them performing in studio with us. And we'll have some videos down the road there, and you'll get to put a face to the voice.
And Johnny's gluten-free recipes will magically appear on our blog.
And Patrick's show notes will also pop up there on the blog. So if you were half listening or you said, oh, I didn't know this was important until after the fact.
And next week we will talk to you at 9 p.m.
Yes,
with Susie Boggess and a whole bunch of other goodies. We're out of here. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Happy Mother's Day.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.